participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
There you go, Michael.
Good pre-show today. We were having a great one today. Hey, one thing to say.
How are you anyway?
What the hell do I bitch about now?
Yeah.
I'm out.
Or ever again.
No, you're not. You'll never be out.
No.
Listen, let's start today's show with an inspirational message.
Oh, that's good. I think that's a wonderful idea.
Ladies and gentlemen, we debuted this tape yesterday. Rip Torn.
I'm telling you, you guys are all going to jail. You are all f***ing out of line. Take my passport. You've been arrested for operating motor vehicles while in the influence.
I was hit by a taxi.
I need you to listen to me, okay?
What?
I need you to listen to me right now.
Was I hit by a taxi?
I don't know, sir. I wasn't out there.
Yeah, oh no. I was hit by a taxi.
You refused to submit to a taxi.
I won't say anything until you take the instructions.
Full portion thereof.
I will not say anything until you take the
instructions. How many years does that
mean? I will not say anything until you take the
instructions.
Yes. I have witnesses to what I drank. One and a half drink.
Okay.
One and a half drink.
I act like a gentleman after you ask
a company for nothing.
Ow!
Relax. I'm going to send you all to jail. I have not had a chance in all these hours to call my lawyer.
Rip Torn.
Rip Torn, everybody.
Fantastic inspiration. Rip Torn.
How you doing anyway?
Wow. How are you anyway?
Let me start the pre-show.
Yes.
Without the usual groaners.
Hello?
Instead, let's focus on Beth Ann McBride.
Yes.
Ah. But
more importantly, let's follow up on Jonathan.
The amazing Jonathan.
Oh, right. Yeah. He with the amazing dream coat that we, I know it's not to say it's, is it Jonathan in the amazing?
Joseph in the amazing.
Joseph.
The color dream coat.
I bet he has one.
You're darn right, Buzz. He's got one.
Jonathan was weird to me yesterday, too, after we did that opening segment.
Well, it was nice of you to actually speak to him.
He was, well, I waved at him and he kind of like walked away.
When he's weird to you, how do you tell?
Right.
Yeah.
So,
well, that means he's weird always.
Exactly.
Right. As you remember from previous episodes, this guy Jonathan, the sales guy here at the station, has got a thing for Beth Ann. And
B.A.
Takes her out to lunch, invites her to watch the football game on the weekend. He says he's got a girlfriend. She's always out of the country. Asked Beth Ann recently if she was gay, you know, as if that's why she, of course, is not melting like a piece of butter.
What other reason would
that
be?
She's sitting in front of him.
Sure, the reason she doesn't pounce on him.
Uh-huh.
So we now have a picture of the alleged girlfriend.
Oh,
really?
And B.A., where's this photo from?
It looks like they were in a bar. He actually had a picture of Eileen holding today's newspaper that he took with his phone, and he emailed it to me, but the laser printer here wouldn't print it.
Well, looking at the picture, you might, and I want to cast no aspersions, is she the one in the red top?
Yeah, she's the one with the dark hair.
Yeah. She's, as you guys can see, she's lovely.
Wow.
She is very attractive.
But if you were to ask my opinion, I'd say that she's involved in a lesbian relationship with the woman that she's having this picture taken with.
Yeah, that could be. That picture could speak volumes.
What do you think, Buzz?
Makes you wonder.
Don't they look like a couple? Like
a very,
like
they seem friendly.
Ellen and Anne.
It's a very fetching picture.
Used to look together.
I'll tell you, that's lesbian or not, that's trading up for Jonathan.
Yeah, but how are we to know that that really is her?
Yeah, that might just be the
picture
out of a magazine.
He could have just gone to Coyote Ugly and just taken some chick's picture.
Yeah, you could do that easily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can dock your photo.
I don't think that's right. Have you met her, Beth Ann?
No, but I've seen other pictures of her.
Yeah, you've seen other pictures
or
of
maybe,
the model that he's using that he's, as his girlfriend.
Yeah. Or just another one of the women that he's stalking.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, we'd need a picture of her
with him,
okay. Tongues intertwined,
and a copy of.
Oh, no, I think I'll get that tomorrow in an email.
And what? And please, a copy of today's newspaper, as they said, for some proof of life in that movie. With
is she an Argentinian?
With Russell Crowe, I like so
bad. No, it's just I believe she speaks Spanish and Portuguese or something, and so her job, because she's multilingual, they can send her to their clients that are in South America.
Yeah, multilingual. Yeah.
She looks it. She sure does. Oh,
she's pretty, isn't she?
She is.
Yeah, she sure is, Beth.
She is very, very, very pretty.
Beautiful.
Very, very beautiful.
Exotic.
Very beautiful. Yes. Very beautiful woman.
Exactly. Very beautiful woman. Very beautiful. There is no way that he's going out with this girl.
Oh, he is.
There is no way. I'm going to have to see more than a photo. I'm going to have to see the two of them together. That's how hot this girl is. I mean, he referenced the fact that I mentioned that I traded up with Frida.
Yes.
Okay, listen, here's the deal. I traded up, but I'm nowhere near as ugly as this guy Jonathan is. And this girl, well, she's pretty. She's not as pretty as my wife. So you know what I'm saying? I traded up. Not as much. I don't believe that this guy Jonathan.
You mean you're saying that the actual separation of good looking and bad looking is too great?
It is.
Too wide.
Is statistically impossible.
Too large a gap
for the girl having the fun with the other girl in this photo.
Unless, of course, Jonathan is simply working for fun and sitting on some sort of amazing trust fund. That could be the great equalizer too.
I don't know.
You get the fuckly guys that you know, if they've got power and money.
He made billions in the .com industry.
He did not.
He did not.
No, I just said that.
Yeah, he would right. See, the thing that kills that is that he's working here for $5.50 an hour selling commercials.
Didn't somebody work here once? Didn't somebody work for us?
One time there was some guy.
That did it for fun?
Yes, there was some guy.
Who the hell was that?
Mike, so many sales guys.
Come and
so
go.
Many,
it was a sales guy,
but
though, right?
There was a guy who was like one of those Rodney Dangerfield things, almost like that movie where the guy was, hey, I'm rich and I don't have to do it. I want to find out what it's like to work here with you, with the little folk.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, he actually didn't have to work, or that's what he said.
Yeah,
because I think there was some question about it.
Right.
So.
I think we ended up believing him that he didn't.
I think we believed him. Yeah, we believed him, and he just did it for fun.
That he was just a guy that wanted
a radio show. I want to go out and get rejected every day.
Come in and see what it's like to work with you little brains.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, Beth Ann here. Please tell Jonathan what we'll need is this photo that we see. We'll need to see. Screw the photo. We need to see Jonathan in person. With this girl.
Okay. Yes, yeah, bring her in.
Here in the studio.
I want her brought in.
Bring us this girl.
Bring her to us.
Okay.
All right, get out of Dragnet. Put out the APB.
Summon her.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye now.
What's her name, Eileen?
Bye
yes.
now.
Yes.
Yes, there was that song about her.
Yes.
Eileen away back.
I was thinking of the other song.
Yes.
By Dexy's Midnight Record.
Oh, yes.
Okay, can you give it to me, Mike?
Na 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 na.
No, I mean, hey now.
Hey now.
The Don and Mike Show.
Let's get retarded. In here.
See, where you couldn't say the name of the song.
Yeah, I know.
Everybody, get into it.
You could say later in the show as a rejoiner, we're going to be playing Come On Eileen by Dexy's Midnight Runners. Look at you, looking at the newspaper.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the pictures.
Looking at pictures. Hello.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hi, John Kerry.
Oh. Hi there.
Mike, don't rub the newspaper on your face. It'll leave a mark.
Yeah.
Hi there. Hi, Don and Mike. We appreciate it.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
We truly are. And... that door you love so much?
Yeah.
Is it stuck? It's...
there it is.
In a true story, he was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself, a man of faith. A man of fate and a soul torn apart. New expression advised.
A sticky door.
How do you begin?
And good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Red Sox. Let them suck the power out of you. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hi, Rob. That door is starting to drive me crazy.
Hello.
Hi, Geronimo. Hi, Julia.
Hello.
Hi, Jerry.
Hello.
Hi there. This is the Don and Mike Show. That's Jerry Jarden in here. A new episode on this Thursday.
Thursday.
1-0.
four.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here. No, he's not retarded.
All right.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. Don and Mike Show. A new episode. It is Thursday, October 28th, 20-04. Call us from anywhere in America, 877-365-3636 from Canada, from Mexico, 800-636-1067, and from D.C., 202-432-1067.
Bye-bye.
Okay. This is it.
It's over.
This is what we've been waiting for. I've known you 20 years. Let it go.
I am out.
Let it go.
I don't mean to disappoint.
Let it go.
Did you hear my voice?
Come on,
you can tell.
You had to save some, though, for us today. You couldn't have wasted all of it last night.
We are the champions, my friend. I would like to thank the Academy.
Now, does it feel as good as you thought it would?
Honest answer?
Yes, please.
No.
Why? Why?
Because, as I said before, the Yankees' victory felt better. I think most Red Sox fans will tell you that. This is more of a unfinished business feeling that, yeah, we did it. We got rid of the curse. It was a great night, but a week ago, Wednesday night, when they beat the Yankees and they came from behind, it still, to me, had more of a feeling of satisfaction.
Hi, Red Sox fan.
Wow. Hey, but it's the you talk about the weight of the world off my shoulders now. It's a huge deal. This was a huge part of my life since 1967. The suffering, losing, getting as close as a team could get, and then losing again. And then last night, to not only win, but to win easy. Just to win like other teams I've always watched won.
Right.
To go into a game and never once in an entire World Series give their fans any stress. This team
will never go down in history.
This team was the loosest, most relaxed bunch of professional athletes I've ever seen. They didn't seem to let anything get to them, and I don't know how you do that, because they're surrounded by fans, people that have nothing to do with the game,
right,
that are having fatal heart attacks.
screw the players. How are you, Joe Sixpack, yeah, Red Sox fan of all, how are you today?
I am...
How have you been?
I am flat out exhausted. I am so tired, and I am so glad this is over, and I am planning.
Yes?
I am seriously planning. I can do that now. I wish I was on the street up in Boston. I wish I was up there for that parade. I didn't want to be at any of the games because I like watching them on TV, and I've been to a World Series. But I really wanted to be up there for the parade.
I didn't say it, but you're bad luck of the World Series.
I'm bad luck of the World Series. Didn't need to be there. Didn't need to be in the stands.
I know.
It was some bad luck. I really, you can hear the voice. I want to get all this. I'm going to buy merchandise. Like a drooling, frothing at the mouth maniac. I'm going to buy in multiples of 10. I'm going to buy
pants,
10 half
shirts.
I'm going to buy 10 long sleeve, short sleeve, sweatshirt, jacket. Anything that says world champion on it, I'm going to buy 10 of them. Uh-huh. And I'm not going to buy them for others. They are all going to be my size. Because I will keep them in a special place that when the one jacket or hat or t-shirt wears out,
you have another
or even
one.
Doesn't look quite crisp,
you know what?
There will be a fresh one that I will change into.
That's right. What Batman used to do.
Mm-hmm. I will
closet full of suits.
Right. In the event that there are different color schemes for world championship merchandise, I will get it. I will buy bobbleheads. I will buy mugs. I will buy paperweights. I will buy bath curtains. I will buy everything they have that has world champion. It has been since 1967, and we did it. And for those on now on a slightly nastier note,
it's been since 1918. But
1918, right?
But for you, 67.
1967.
First time you were aware of it.
My only memory, my vivid memory, would be riding home from school with Paul Richards, who is now Paul listens to us, and he's a monk. So this one, he's an actual friar, Friar Paul Richards. He works in a monastery right now. He was listening to the game on a transistor radio.
He's not a monkey.
A monk.
He's a monk.
Like Little John, you know?
Yeah, I know.
Friar Tuck.
With a crazy haircut.
Good. Paul was listening on a transistor radio and was a St. Louis Cardinals fan.
Isn't that
against? 1967.
No, I guess monks can do that because I've seen the commercial for AOL where the monks are on instant message on AOL.
I think when he's up there, I think he wears the suit. I think he wears, like, the rope belt and the whole thing. Uh-huh. I think he wears the whole... And they make bread. That's what... He went to see my mom recently. So, hey, but that's my memory, 1967 on the school bus. He's listening. I'm rooting for the Red Sox. He's rooting for St. Louis. And now on a petty note.
Go ahead.
If you don't mind.
Go ahead.
If I might.
Come on. Come on, Tiger. Go ahead.
I believe it was a week ago this very day that we were entertaining calls from Yankee fans.
Yeah, we were.
And may I say to them, I really appreciate... The fact that I've heard from so many different people that even Yankee fans are pulling for the Red Sox.
Yes.
No, they weren't. They never were. They never could. They never would.
Oh, you know what?
They are still the enemy.
Here's what I saw today, and you want to watch for this now with the national celebrities. I'm watching Regis and Kelly.
Oh, is everybody jumping on the bandwagon now?
Regis. Who is Mr. Freaking Yankee.
Oh, like, beyond Mr.
Like
Yankee.
You're Mr. Red Sox, but I mean, he really climbs into the bungalow.
How about that Derek Jeter?
The inner bungalow of George Steinbrenner. I mean, right. like Ahmad Rashad used to have that, you know, he would go deep inside the bowels of Michael Jordan, so to speak. I'm watching Regis's TV show today.
Right.
Thinking, this is going to be it, right? He's going to be out of his mind. Here's his move. And totally... Totally unbelievable. Hold up the paper. Red Sox win. That's good. I'm a Red Sox fan. Go Boston Red Sox. That's so good for Boston.
And I'm glad you brought that up because you know what that is?
What?
I think that's what Yankee fans are doing. I think they are so humiliated and they were so smited by the Red Sox that they're... But here's the deal. When I hear, you know, my mom, 84 years old, says to me yesterday before the game, she says, you know what? Even the Yankee fans are rooting for the rest. I said, Mom, you're a sweet, sweet, lovable old lady. Do not get fooled.
You didn't call her old, did you?
No, I never called my mom an old lady. But this is why old people, unfortunately, are victims of, you know, scams for, like, gutters and stuff like that. Because they think that the Yankees... They think the Yankees are going to be with us. No!
It's insincere.
No!
So
the
like,
Yankees
you like
were
that.
Passionate. The
you,
Yankees.
Like in, you like in the fact that, Yankee, that these Yankees fans are transparent in the same way that they could go sell an old woman like your mom or like my mother-in-law some gutters or shutters they really don't
need. Or one of those investment schemes where you see the old lady sitting there at the kitchen table. She's got all her papers out and she's lost her entire savings because somebody did it. That's what a Yankee fan is doing. By saying that they're pulling for it. No, the Yankees fan, we're doing with the Red Sox fan, what we did last year. We pulled for, was it the Diamondbacks? It was I was rooting for the Diamondbacks like crazy. It wasn't the same thing as rooting for your own team, but I was watching it just to make sure the Yankees didn't win. Well, they were doing the same thing with the St. Louis Cardinals, and nothing would have made Yankee fans happier than if they had
Cardinals
come back
won, right,
from when we went up 3-0. It was fantastic. And for those Yankee fans that called me a week ago and said, the ring! Where's your ring, Mike? Where's the ring? Your team got no ring. Well, guess what? It's a pisser. We got a ring now.
It's wicked good. It's wicked good.
And I don't...
And look at you wearing your Red Sox jersey here today.
Yes. Yeah, I'm not big into wearing the stuff, but I've worn it twice now, and... I just can't tell you. You know what's getting better right now? Right now, I think I'm just catching it right now. I think I'm just catching it. You said get ramped up, and I really didn't have it in me, and now I'm just starting to talk about it, and I'm getting this out of my system, and this is really over the top, absolutely the most incredible sports fan moment in my whole life. And I don't know if I'll ever have another one like
this. No, you won't.
But here's what another thing. And this is
all downhill now.
Here's the euphoria of Red Sox fans. This is the mentality. And I felt the same way. My brother-in-law said it to me last night. They got a lot of free agents, right? They got a little guys. And you know what everybody's saying? Everybody now in Boston is saying, sign them all. This is the same group of people that wanted to get rid of Derek Lowe, Pedro Martinez. I'm including myself in this group, incidentally. Get rid of Derek Lowe.
Weren't you one
Pedro
of the guys,
Martinez.
Were you one of the guys screaming to get rid of that idiot general manager?
Oh, absolutely. The manager, really. Not the GM, no. It was the manager, Terry Francona. Because we would always yell at him. And I know everybody that's a Red Sox fan feels the same way I do. We were all saying, hey, stupid Terry Francona, rocking back and forth like he's autistic in the dugout, chewing on what appears to be some sort of Tootsie Roll, but it's like a hybrid of gum and tobacco, and just going, hey, what kind of oral fixation do you have? And all the people that badmouth him, and now we can't do it anymore. And now we're all saying, sign them all, and I'm with them. I think they should re-sign every single free agent the Red Sox have. They should keep that team intact so that they can all... Oh, and another thing, because I read all the papers about this, of course you know.
Yeah.
And another thing, when April 11th, which is the season opener for the Red Sox, when they will raise the World Championship flag over Fenway Park.
Wow.
Do you know who will be in the other dugout?
Ooh.
On opening day? They open the season
against the Yankees.
So I might have to be there for that. Might have to be there for that because it's fantastic. Sure. I got my best buddy called me today. My Yankee fan best buddy called me and it was the official curse is broken call, but he couldn't resist but throw a little dig in at the St. Louis Cardinals not being able to hit. You know, far be it for a Yankee fan to give total credit to the winning team, the best team in baseball.
Listen, you got to let the Yankee thing go.
Oh, I can't. No, if I see them now, I'm going to seek them out. I'm going to find them wherever they are. I'm going to find them wherever they are. With the Derek Jeter. With the Derek Jeter jersey. And the A-Rod jersey. Oh, incidentally, you got A-Rod and we didn't. How'd that work out for you? Anyway,
hey, way to gloat.
The gloat is over.
Let him go.
Yeah, no.
Really, I've known this guy 20 years.
This
they
is
need
real.
This. Let it go.
I know.
Remember the sour grapes comment that George Steinbrenner said when they got A-Rod and the Red Sox?
No, I don't need you, but he
said it's sour grapes because that's, I think, when Larry Lucchino, who is the president of the Red Sox, called the Yankees an evil empire.
Even I don't know these names.
No one does. Well, you got Tom Warner, who's one of the owners, and you got John Henry. John Henry had a hammer. John Henry. John Henry, a man who seriously will go down in infamy. He is, not infamy. He will go down in history. Infamy is bad, right? If you go down in infamy, it's bad.
Yes, that is bad.
That's
you
not
don't
good.
Even know that
I'm not
up.
Even using correct vocabulary because I'm so damn excited. Hey, let's dance to the Hammer song. I love that Hammer song. Hammer.
And the dwarf. You have to keep the dwarf.
Oh, the dwarf. I don't care about the dwarf. I'm very happy, though, about, Pedro. And I think I'm going to be growing my hair long and dyeing it jet black and trying as much as any white man can to put my hair into jerry curls.
Wow, that'd be nice.
Or dreadlocks like that. I think I might go up and see Timmy Obibane,
the Nigerian nightmare,
and consult with him on how to get that just right look. I want to get my hair that way. I'm very, very excited. I just... can't wait to get the merchandise. I haven't started that yet. I haven't started my spending spree. But I'm really, I'm setting aside, thousands of dollars for, I really, if I'd had one, I would have worn a full baseball uniform today. And not just to the show. I would have,
all day?
Yeah, because, I'm moving this week. So I'm moving, into a house. And so I have to have all these meetings with people that are moving stuff and people that are putting TV outlets in, and I would have worn the uniform.
Yeah, you're closing on this place tomorrow, right?
Tomorrow I close.
Would you wear a baseball uniform to the closing?
Yeah, if I had one in my size. Absolutely. I'll wear it if I had it. See, I can't get it. I can't get it on time.
No.
And all the people, all the hangers-on are going to, try to jump in first with merchandise. I haven't even come to the online store. I'm going to do that during one of the commercial breaks today. I'm going to go on the online store.
Buy everything.
I'm going to buy everything. I bought a lot of stuff anyway. I got this. This is my favorite. This is my lucky jersey. This is my batting practice jersey that I got in spring training, ladies and gentlemen. Incidentally, for you fair weather fans, in spring training
when I went
down to 5 preseason games.
Wow, that's right.
You want to know what a baseball fan is? Somebody that actually sits and enjoys 5 spring training games in their entirety. Will they be as special?
Will they be as special? Next year.
I wonder
if they will.
Doctor, what do you think?
I don't know, boy. I wonder if they'll be as special.
You're happy today.
And here's a little schmaltz. I've added the pettiness. Now I'm going to tug at your hearts.
Okay.
As I say, Papa, I think Papa is up there smiling down on me right now.
Sure.
William Joseph O'Mara. Oh, Oh, did you hear about the guy? I think there was a 60-year-old guy in Boston that actually actually croaked before they won.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, I want to tell you something
else.
We can now, after many years of sitting apart, we can now sit together on airplanes again.
Yes. Yep.
I swear to you, the reason that I stopped sitting next to you on an airplane
why?
Was that you would get bombed.
And talk about my dad?
And talk about the Red Sox,
oh, the Red Sox.
And how the Red Sox and your dad and your dad never got to see it. And then you would start that whole spiral thing saying, it's never going to happen in my lifetime either. I don't know why I won't. That is the reason that I stopped sitting next to you on the plane.
Wow. Man, I must have been a pain in the ass. Wow. I, this is great. This really is fun. This is so much fun.
You were,
does anybody know what time the parade is?
I'll check.
The one in Boston?
Yeah, it's today, right?
I don't think it's today. I think
it's today.
I think it's tomorrow.
Oh, it's tomorrow?
I think it's tomorrow.
All right.
Because you used to get, when we would fly, that would be the one thing that you would always think about right away.
My father and the Red Sox.
You would start having some medicine.
Yeah, I would have a few cocktails and talk about the Red Sox. And, you know, the joke is, you know, because I come from an Irish family where everyone would occasionally have an adult beverage. When I come in, I tell this story all the time. I've told you this. Donnie's so sick of this story. And I'm telling it on the air because you're letting me get it all out of my system.
Go ahead.
I'd come in, like, from going out when I was 17, 18, when I was a senior in high school, junior in high school, and I'd come in from, like, a Friday night. If my father's glass was straight up, if it was straight up, the Red Sox were winning.
What if it was?
If he had it on the table and he was pacing around, it was like late inning, something was going on.
Uh-huh.
In the event that they began, then it was the losing angle. And with every run or whatever, you know, the dismal situation the Red Sox were losing, the glass would tilt forward.
Just that.
And if
just
the drink, if the drink was right to the brim, and in some cases,
I heard this story 500 times. Look at him.
Yeah. If the drink was tilted so far over that it was actually dripping on the floor,
I knew
they were getting their ass kicked.
They were getting their ass kicked.
And my mom said to me when I called her last night after the game, she said the glass is straight up tight.
Oh, that's nice.
So that is
nice.
Just, you know what? It is a trip and a half. It is a trip and a half. And I wish I was up there and that's it. I think I might be out.
You did see it in your lifetime, though. You did see
it. Oh, I saw it in my lifetime.
That's great.
And here we go. All right. You're wondering what's next? Well, I believe this is now not just a World Series victory. This is a change in the makeup of the American League East. I believe that the evil empire has fallen upon the reality that all the money in the world cannot create team chemistry. And I believe this Red Sox team will be competitive for years to come. Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
I literally...
Yes?
I am not kidding when I say in 20 years... I've heard this speech about the glass.
Yep.
I know I said 500 times, but really, if I really did, maybe 5,000 times.
I love that story.
I've heard it, and it's so true.
Yeah.
It's what drove us
right
apart.
Right in the
airplanes.
Right in the living room, listening to it on the radio, on these big speakers, because he dug stereo equipment, and he had these big speakers that he listened to.
Right.
And that was it. And it's very, very, very cool. And, you know, I mean, when you're there for all of them, when you're there, and I start out, you know, I mentioned 1967 as being my first real childhood memory of rooting for, the real ones, 1975, Carlton Fisk hits the home run in Game 6, Cincinnati Reds come back and win in Game 7. Then, 1978.
Now, I want to just say...
One game
this,
playoff.
This is, now, this is what I'm going to let you Red Sox fans in general have, at least in my limited interaction with people, for a couple of days.
Right.
But eventually, we're going to have to let this go.
Yeah.
We're going to have to let this... This happened to us then. This happened then. Yeah. You don't understand
why...
That's
all history now. I need to say that anymore. I mean, I really don't.
Good, good.
It's a new era.
All that matters now is now. 2004.
Nobody... Anything they have done, any way that they have lost, there is no history that they have now that will ever compare to coming down from being three games down
and to the positive. The negatives can never outweigh the positive of this. This wiped it out. This absolutely, the curse is, I don't believe in the curse, but the thing is.
You did.
I did, yes.
You did.
Now I can say it. Yeah, but I'm lying. I did.
You did.
It's gone. Here's the deal. All that crap that we endured.
That's another great Micah's drunk story that you got to sit through sometime. Well, thank God you won't have to anymore. But the curse, why the curse is real. And sometimes sit next to Mike, not even in an airplane, just in a bar, when he'll explain to you, he'll flip-flop four or five times why he does believe, doesn't believe.
Sure. Yeah,
well, does believe,
yeah.
Doesn't believe.
Now it's history now. It's gone. New era.
It's in the rearview mirror.
It's right? In the rearview mirror. And all of the previous stuff that happened can't compare to the good stuff that happened this last 2 weeks. The greatest 2 weeks of my baseball fandom. And as each year went by, unlike other sports, I was a big fan of a lot of sports. All the other sports that I followed, my interest waned over the years. My baseball interest like grew and grew and grew and grew, and it got stronger and stronger and stronger. And now I'll be interested to see how I feel. I mean, I don't know if I'm not sure, but I think I'm still going to dig it. I think I'm still going to go to spring training games. I'm still going to get
sure
up for Yankee
will.
Series. I don't think that's going to go away. Nobody that was a real Red Sox fan knew the answer to that question, knew how they would feel after the fact. You talk about a couple of days. I need a couple of days to, like, digest all this. And see if I'm still going to be as into them now that we've reached the top of the mountain.
Now that you've tapped it.
We've tapped it.
Yeah.
Because, once you tap it, it ain't as good.
That's right.
At least that's the way it's supposed to work.
The anticipation.
And sometimes you can tap it. But you know what? I think sometimes you can tap it a few times.
Oh, yeah.
And it's still good.
Sure,
I'm hoping we got a few of those.
Maybe someday you'll get to the Brad Pitt point.
Mm-hmm.
I say that many times in my counseling, my outreach counseling,
right,
to staff members here.
Friends,
remember,
sure.
Friends, even Brad Pitt has got to be tired of giving it to Jennifer Aniston.
Sure,
even Brad Pitt,
absolutely.
And for you guys out there, even vice versa, even she's got to be sick of getting it from you.
Oh, incidentally, I'm ready for my prediction for next season. So this will be the earliest, the day after the conclusion.
Okay.
My prediction for the Red Sox next year, I predict they will finish dead last.
You see, my point with Brad and Jennifer is no matter how great you might think it be, at some point,
after a while,
it just, so Mike, enjoy it, and let me say to you now, as we celebrate our 20th year together.
Yes.
No more Red Sox bets. Because
amen. That's a good idea.
The fun for me is gone because, like I said to you with the rivalry thing.
Well done.
What's the point? They won.
That era has passed.
They won.
Mm-hmm. I also am looking forward in the next day or two to my really, my emotional breakdown moment. Because I never had that. Did I get a little teary-eyed talking to Mom? Yeah. But I'm waiting for that because I really, when I thought about if it ever did happen, I thought I'd have that real moment of, and it hasn't happened. And I know at some point it's just going to hit me like a ton of bricks.
Denial,
and
acceptance.
I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. I'm looking forward to being sitting at at the Olive Garden, and all of a sudden, it just strikes me.
Here.
Right? No, I wouldn't do that here.
Oh,
I wouldn't really get blubbery on the show. I couldn't do that.
How much you want to bet I could make you cry?
You'd do the Barbara Walters thing?
I could make you cry. It'd be great radio.
No, you wouldn't do that to me. You wouldn't be full of Barbara Walters.
Yes, I would.
Because then I'd have to be phony cold in order not to cry.
No, you wouldn't.
Stuff like that.
You know what?
Don't make
Here's
me cry.
Need. Give me just a glass of Jameson's. Just a glass.
Mm-hmm.
Because, Mike, there's no reason that we shouldn't milk this.
Yeah, I know.
For what it is. I mean, come on. You are not a Johnny-come-lately Red Sox fan.
This
is a lifelong quest for you.
I'm not a Johnny-come-lately fan as you get.
So, here is...
Especially, I think, I give credit to all the people that, like me, who have moved to other cities around the country, and the kind of people that go out to the ballparks all over the place and stay with their team even though they're transplanted. A lot of people don't
care about you.
Here's the challenge for me in our next break.
Yes.
Because we have guests coming up. Not for a half hour.
Well, I don't want you to try to make me cry.
No, that's the goal.
No,
come on. Let me try. I'll really, really give it my best.
Well, I know you'll make me cry.
Well, then let's celebrate. Here's the Jamesons.
Well, we'll need some ice for that, won't we?
All right, let's get Mike some ice and some Jamesons, and when we come back...
Oh, that's tough. That'll make me cry right there.
Give me a chance.
After last night. You might be surprised to know that... We have
a very festive evening last night.
Well,
I'll drink to that. At the old pube.
Like anybody would be.
Look around, cafe.
Surprised you got bombed last night.
And I know I don't do a lot of plugs, but can I...
No, you don't.
Can I thank the people? I think whoever the...
Any plugs.
Whoever the people are that... I hope I got it right. The distribute Heineken.
Shut up.
They brought
it. Shut you the plug.
No, you like
day.
This. You like this. You will like this. Because for the first time today, I walked in and they showed me two posters that were hanging up. In huge letters. You will be happy to know. Not Mike's. Hank's Look Around Cafe.
Oh, nice. Oh.
I don't know who brought it, but
Hank's
I said.
Look Around Cafe.
That's what you call it.
Hey, now.
It's on the wall now.
Hey, now.
Invited by Heineken?
Or somebody.
All right, well, listen. Give me a moment now during this commercial set to collect my thoughts, to write a couple of notes, and the challenge will be in the next break, can I seriously, and don't do it as a joke.
What? No.
Can I make you cry?
No, if Barbara Walters came out and said, can I make you cry? Her guests would never go. So the moment is lost, you know. But
well, please, I don't think it's lost.
Because you're going to say something about my father.
That's right.
No, you're not.
Yes, I'm going to. No. Nothing bad.
I know it's nothing bad.
Hey, come on. I'm ready for this.
Come on.
Mike, it's the show, baby.
Pour away, Rob.
Okay, we'll be back. I'll make Mike cry. You watch.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
We got all these so-called fans that come out here and say they're Cub fans that are supposed to be behind you, ripping every thing you do. I'll tell you one thing. I hope we get hotter than just to stuff it up them 3,000 people that show up every day. Because if they're the real Chicago fans, they can kiss my ass right downtown and print it. They're really, really behind you around here. My what the fuck I should do? Go out there and let my players get destroyed every day and be quiet about it for the pickle dime people to show up? The mother don't even work. That's why they're out at the game. They ought to go out and get a job and find out what it's like to go out there in a living. 85% of the world's working. The other 15 come out here. The playground for the rip them like the players. Got guys in there and them people boo. And that's the Cubs? My. They talk about the great support that the players get around here. I haven't seen it this year.
The Don and Mike Show.
Here you go, Mike.
Lee Elia.
This is for the Red Sox now.
The home of hilarity. The Don and Mike Show.
It's for the Yankees. For the Cardinals. Let's take a couple of phone calls. And why don't you get a drink?
I will in a minute.
Well, I'm operating under a clock deadline here.
All right. If you must.
Have a drink. Take a call.
Incidentally, I've wanted this for a long time.
Don and Mike Show.
I've wanted this for a long time, but I could do this for every show.
Hi, you're on the air. Hello? Oh, Robbie, the microphones are still in that position from that kooky commercial. Hello, Tony.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Two very quick things. Mike, first off, I think the parade is supposed to be on Saturday. I think the mayor announced that before the series was over.
You could make it. I could be on a shuttle on Saturday.
You could.
I'm flying up there on Saturday. And secondly, I wanted to know if Donnie throwing his support of the show behind the Red Sox makes up for the Yaz is a fag thing.
Well, the Yaz is a fag thing is, I believe, Don, you get an exemption on the Yaz is a fag simply because of the comedic value. I recognize the comedy value
it's
of
funny.
That. And that came from a long time ago, right, when I had like an 8x10.
15 years ago, yeah, you had an 8x10.
You knew it wasn't like one of my collectibles.
So I wrote all Yaz is a fag on it.
Right. Yeah, so, now Don, now through the show support behind the Red Sox prior, I believe, to the California series.
Let me just say this for the record. Yaz was not a fag.
Yes.
You, sir, you're a fag. Okay? All right, get out of here.
You, sir, are the faggiest man in show
business. Joe, tickling Mike, take a sip. Take a sip, and let's talk to Joe in Portland, Maine. Joe.
Don and Mike, how are you today?
Hi, how's that Jameson stays, Mike?
Usually I'm in a different environment when I have that lovely nectar. flow down my throat.
Hi, Joe.
On.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi.
Hi, Buzz.
Hey.
Hey, Mike, I just want to let you know up here in Portland, we raised some hell last night.
Good.
The whole New England area finally got that monkey off our back. But yep. I want to tell you, 1967, I was 5 years old,
mm-hmm.
and I've been a Sox fan since I was knee-high anyway. So, you know, first and foremost, I think for the Yankee fans out there, when you guys, I kind of put it in this way, when you had a guest, Gunnery Sergeant Ermey on there.
Mike, why don't you have another drink?
And
right,
he
have
had,
a sip.
And he had this particular quote from the movie Full Metal Jacket about seeing your war face. Well, the baseball league itself saw our war face in true colors by sweeping the Yanks in their four games and the St. Louis Cardinals. So, The one character thing that
sir,
everybody
sir,
up
this
here
is Mike.
Listen,
this is Mike. I got to stop you.
Yeah,
I have to stop you.
You're killing us
it
here.
It pains me to stop you. It really does. I share your joy, but I believe even you, sir, it just may be a little bit too serious.
No, this
good,
is
goodbye.
It's too serious. This is joy. This is sports. This is a diversion.
Give me a moment. Rob, oh, here you are. Thank goodness.
Is it time?
I'd like the lights down just a little bit, lower than I normally like them. There you go. Like that. That's pretty good. Mike?
What? Hold on.
Have a nice sip.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
I'm lucky
mm-hmm.
because I have a son. I know what it is.
What? Look at me.
I know what it is. To have a bond with a dad.
Right.
You have daughters. You love your daughters. But not like you and your dad. Now don't fake it, because I'm going to get you on this.
All right, go ahead. I'm listening.
I'm talking about William O'Mara, who brought his boy up, watching the Red Sox, listening, have another drink, listening on radio station WTIC in Hartford.
1080.
1080 on your AM dial. Carl Yastrzemski. And every time a movie would come out, like Field of Dreams, you'd go to that movie. You're such a fag, you cry at Ruby, but you would cry at a movie like Field of Dreams
mm-hmm.
because it would remind you of the bond with your dad.
Mm-hmm.
Because your dad loved the Red Sox. Oh, I need more music. You're killing me with this. I get on a roll with this.
You need more music.
Just put it on continuous.
Where were we? I don't know, Don. Go ahead.
Let's talk about Carlton Fisk. Where were you, Mike, in 1975 for the World Series?
For the sixth game?
The sixth game when he hit the 12th inning game-winning home run. Where were you?
How did you know? I was in the den with my father.
You know how I knew that?
How'd you know that?
You've told me that. But why don't you tell everybody what you and your dad experienced that night when Carlton Fisk hit it over the wall against the Cincinnati Reds?
Well, as I mentioned before, he used to always have a little toddy going. Maybe this contributed to my love of an occasional adult beverage, because he said, I think I was 13 at the time, and he said, here, have a sip. And it was the real stuff, too. And I almost threw up. But it was, that was a special moment. That's it. Don't do this to me.
Mike.
Don't do this to me.
What did you think the first time you saw the movie The Natural? First time you saw it.
Well, that's the best baseball movie I've ever seen.
What did you like about the movie Bull Durham?
Seriously?
Yeah.
Susan Sarandon's...
Come on. What'd you think of that HBO special about the curse of the Bambino? Yeah.
It was absolutely accurate. Totally accurate as far as the way Red Sox fans have felt. It was completely accurate. And right up to the point where it says, if they win, we're not going to know what to do. Because I don't think anybody knows what we're going to do.
Okay. You're happy today.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you happiest for?
Hmm.
Who Who are you happiest for?
Who am I happiest for right now?
Can I tell you?
Who?
William O'Meara. It's what you both dreamed of.
Right.
It's what you both wanted to see.
Mm-hmm.
The year after your dad died, you said to me that that was the year the Red Sox are going to win because that was the year your dad was up in heaven watching them.
Wait, I sent all this to you on an airplane?
More than airplanes.
Really?
Yes.
But it was usually...
Always fueled by the magic stuff.
Oh, really? Okay.
So I ask you now, thinking about your dad and the way you feel about him and the way that, you know, he felt about you.
Yeah.
What do you think your dad's doing right now up in heaven?
He's raising a glass to the Boston Red Sox.
But why don't you?
And he's saying, don't let him get to you. And he's saying, shut up, Don. Stop it. Stop Mike, trying to make Mike cry.
Mike, why don't you?
Yes.
Take your glass.
Yes. Stop it. No, you couldn't. What?
And offer a tribute.
Yes.
To your dad.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And do all the long suffering.
I'll do this for
Red
real.
Red Sox fan.
Absolutely. As I raise my glass.
Repeat after me.
Okay. I will, as long as it's not embarrassing.
Oh.
Yes, go ahead.
I salute my dad.
I salute my dad.
Who I've always loved.
Who I've always loved.
A championship made in heaven.
A championship made in heaven.
Dad.
Dad.
This one's for you.
This one's for you.
Now drink.
All right.
Now drink.
Mm-hmm.
Now, tell me some of your best memories going to Fenway with your dad.
Best first memory of going to Fenway Park was my father and myself and Tom McCabe and his father, Ed McCabe. And we're sitting in the, we had good seats. They were, I think, reserve grandstand seats. We were close enough, I think we were close enough to the dugout where the bat boy for the California Angels came out and actually held up a ball and looked at us, and he kind of nodded his head like, you want the baseball?
Right.
And Tommy McCabe and I flew over the railing, absolutely breakneck speed, ran down there, and before we could get to the dugout, the bat boy went underneath the dugout because he was working us. But I still, that's my first big baseball memory. Second biggest baseball memory, sitting next to my father, believe it or not,
yeah.
Not a Red Sox memory. It was a home run hit by Boog Powell, a home run that I had never seen a longer home run, and actually because we were on the first base side, we could see the whole thing go. It was fantastic.
And now let's go back to 1986.
Yes.
With you and I were in Shea Stadium.
Ugh.
That night.
Yep.
Who'd you call?
My father.
And what did you, you called after the game.
I put him on the phone with the CEO of our corporation.
Yeah, and
because
with,
I was feeling
And who is the Mets guy that you put him
Rusty
on the
phone?
Rusty Staub?
Yeah. I was, that was another festive evening.
And that night.
Yes.
What did you discuss with your dad? Because you were there and your dad was watching it on TV.
I think I said, we'll get him next year.
You didn't, though.
What did I say?
Well, I don't know. But I mean, you didn't.
You're going to make something up
for him. No, I'm saying, but no, I don't know what you said.
I just know
that you went to the back room for a second.
I think I just wanted to let him know. I wanted to let him know I was at the seventh game. I was having a great time. And even though we had, you know, lost the World Series, it was like, you know. Go, go, go.
A scotch glass stands straight up in heaven tonight.
Right.
The brightest diamond shines in Fenway Park.
I didn't know you could write like this.
I'm not writing. I'm speaking.
From the ticker?
Think about your dad.
Mm-hmm. Is the goal trying to get me to cry?
Yes! Why do you think I'm wasting time here?
Of course. Just suffice to say, when I'm driving home tonight, I'll start to sob. And if I start sobbing, I'll call you.
But I think if you just have another sip.
Oh, I think if I drank half the bottle, even with what you just did, that would have gotten to me. It would have absolutely gotten me. But it's you. Because you're doing it because it's your little quest. And you know how competitive we both are.
All right, let me hide so you can't see me.
Oh, yeah, I know you're going to be there. Don't do it anymore. That's enough. That is enough, please. Please.
Mike,
he's not going to stop. He's not going to stop.
Did you collect baseball cards when you were a kid?
No, I did not.
How'd you follow the Red Sox when you were a kid?
How did I follow them? Mostly on the radio.
listen to them at night.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to all the away games.
And then with more games on TV, we used to have the UHF antenna and used to try to get them on Channel 22 out of Springfield.
Did you ever really think in your lifetime it would ever really happen?
No, I did not. I legitimately 100% did not expect to see it in my lifetime.
Do you know how happy your dad has made you now?
Very, very happy.
Do you think your dad had something to do with this?
Yes, absolutely. Everybody that's up here that was a fan did. Stand up. Stop. That's it. Stand up.
I can get you.
No, look, stop. Stop
it. I
can
get you.
Stop it. I'm gonna have to take my shirt off. You don't want me to do that.
Mike?
You done? Done?
All right, don't take your shirt off. All right, okay, all right, don't take
stop
your shirt
the music.
Off. Okay, all right, stop the music. Don't take your shirt off.
I was going to take my shirt off. I'd walk the whole building. Yeah.
You know what? If we weren't on the air, I could make him cry. I swear to God, I could make him cry.
If only this was an airplane.
If only it were.
Well, no, if it was an airplane leaving out of Dulles that was somewhere over the Rocky Mountains.
It's got to be about 2 hours into the flight.
Easily.
Rob, you can turn the lights back
on. Turn them on.
Past the massage level.
I like that, though. I enjoyed that segment. That was very nice. Very nice tribute to my old man. I appreciate it.
Yes. Because, you know, the bond. Don't. Okay, all right.
He started to take off his shirt.
Leave your shirt on.
That'll just make us laugh.
Leave your shirt on.
Because really, underneath this T-shirt that I'm wearing underneath my Red Sox jersey,
I'm painted red. Bright red and blue.
With letters across my nipples. Yes. Festive day. But I like the face painting. I was tempted to do the face painting today.
Maybe I will do that this weekend.
You should. Paint my face.
Cut loose. Cut loose, so to speak.
No, you shouldn't have put this in front of me, that's for sure.
Well, why not? Come on, it's your day.
Come on.
Yeah.
Who wants to fight? Any Yankee fans?
Any Yankee fans want to fight? You want some Yankee fans?
Oh, I would love some.
Christopher?
Yes, sir.
Yankee fan right here for you, Mike.
Hi, Christopher.
How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing pretty well.
Well, let me congratulate you, first of all.
Thank you.
It's about time the Yankees got their butt whooped. I am a diehard Yankee fan, but some of them are just in the clouds.
They needed humility? I'm not sure I'm really understanding or tracking with the Yankee dynamic here.
Here's another Yankee fan, Bill.
Hey, Mike.
Yes, sir. Hi, Bill. How are you?
Bill, pick up, please. Speakerphones are so
congratulations.
Impersonal.
Thank you.
I've got a lot of family from Boston, though. They're hardcore Red Sox fans. But all I got to say to you is see you in 2090.
See you in 2090. Somebody else, you're late to the party because Rob said that to me when I came in. And, what does it feel like as a Yankee fan? Is that it, really? Because really, I've heard that from a couple of people.
That's all they got.
Yeah, and so, it's empty. It's empty. The arrows aren't there. The arrows aren't there. And the who's your daddy with Pedro? I mean, Pedro won game three.
Correct.
Really won game three. Derek Lowe won game four. I mean, you just can't argue with
obviously
that.
No bringing you down at this point.
It's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing a Yankee fan could say to me that would bring me down.
Understandable.
Nothing. Literally nothing. No. Nothing baseball related, Red Sox related. You can't. It's absolutely impossible when a team wins a World Series. You've won the World Championship.
Yeah.
Take that away from me.
I know you're watching the game somewhere else, but when you get your DVD copy of it,
yes, they're selling that. Do you know they're already selling that? You know, it's already been packaged,
edited,
edited, and it's already available for sale.
When you get your copy of that,
10 copies.
But when you get the one that you watch,
yeah.
You know that flag you have from your dad's throne? Don't take it.
Unbuttons. Every time you start the music, you start unbuttoning.
It's an automatic. Look, and now I'm at T-shirt level, man.
That could get you.
Yeah.
That could get you.
The flag, my dad's flag.
Yeah.
It was on his casket.
I know, and you could. Well, then you wouldn't be able to hold it.
No, it's in a glass frame.
Right. But I've seen the glass frame, though.
Yeah.
I mean, you could actually watch the game, and. Have your dad there with you watching the game.
Okay, turn it off. Now I'm going to take my pants off. He's set a glass next to us. Funny. You funny guy. You a funny man.
No, you funny guy. We're waiting 20 years for this. I mean, come on.
I know.
What the payoff? I mean, we've sat
out. There's part of me that, you know, we're not going to be able to do those Red Sox bets. I'm going to have to figure something else huge, almost an annual bet. That maybe it's not sports related.
God, here we go again.
We could, you know what we could do?
I have
here you go. I'll get you off topic.
All right.
We could bet on your relationships.
Oh, that's terrible. That is terrible. That's sweet.
I only said that to break the mood. I only said that just to get off this thing about your dad.
You can't bet on relationships.
You're goddamn right,
you can. Goddamn right, you
tell me about that.
That's for sure.
Tell me. How about you, Rob?
Oh, I'm not a betting man.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, here's somebody who appreciated me. Paul?
Gentlemen.
Yes.
I got to tell you, Don.
Yeah.
I didn't know the great late William O'Mara, and you almost had me in tears.
Yeah.
You weren't doing it fake. I was really trying to get you to cry. If you'd done that and it like hadn't said you're going to try to get me to cry, that there were two times in there. The one time you got me, and you did. I will tell you now when you almost got me. You said when you said who did you when you were watching the 1975 World Series, and I mean, I was probably so bombed when I was telling you about that I had forgotten my phone. And I'm like, my God.
You told me that
many
times.
Obviously, you remembered it. I said, how did he know that?
Because you told me 50 times.
In the living years?
What?
You got to play In the Living Years. That would have done it.
Oh, no. You know why that wouldn't? And I'll tell you why that wouldn't.
Yeah, you know, that was at the time, because that really was right around the time that I lost my dad. But
didn't Goodman ruin it for you?
Goodman destroyed it.
Yeah.
Alan Goodman, our general manager, it was his favorite song.
Because Mike's dad.
I heard that song, and I was bawling.
I'm not laughing about the fact that Mike heard this song and was touched by this song.
Yeah. So moved by it, because it was the timing of it was literally right around the time I lost my dad. And I was so touched. It really was a song that I identified with. And I think I told you that, and then
Goodman,
it was like half an hour later, Alan Goodman.
Hey, D.M., I think this is the most touching song I've ever heard.
And immediately, I lost my mojo.
Ruined. Song is ruined for you.
He destroyed it because then it became a comedic tune.
Because Alan liked it.
Alan,
that's a beautiful song, D.M.
Alan Goodman, I'm touched by that.
The seasons of a man's life.
That's right.
You know, you don't play records like that very often.
And speaking of that, that's who we were at the Game 7 of the 1986 World Series with, Alan Goodman. Don't start the move.
Alan Goodman has always been very special to Mike.
Now I'll keep my shirt on.
this will make you cry.
No, this will make me vomit. Alan Goodman. Short of stature, big of heart.
Mike and I remember Alan the best, perhaps for this moment. We were in Minneapolis, Minnesota, filming a television commercial. We were inside a recording studio at approximately 8 a.m., Alan Goodman was laying on the floor, calling Northwestern Airlines, trying to get our flight. He just kept repeating into the phone as he laid on the floor.
This is Goodman, Alan.
I'm trying to remember who it was. Alan's brother is
David. His twin brother David.
As they would regale us with stories on how they used to beat up Jeff Greenfield, who's now with CNN.
Right. The Goodman brothers.
The Goodman brothers.
With Retro Society.
Terrorizing their neighborhood in Brooklyn.
This is Goodman.
This is Goodman.
Alan.
And then the guy that was producing the TV commercials had a son.
Jordan.
Named Jordan. And as we're getting in the van, getting ready to go to the airport.
And the kid's about 14.
Oh, my. Alan walks up and goes,
Jordan,
may I kiss you?
Oh, my God. Alligator. You know, he's one that I'd actually love to talk to. There's a guy I would love to talk to.
We talked to him a while ago on the show. We had him on the show.
Because he was a big, was he a Mets fan or a Yankee fan? I forgot. Remember him strutting into Shea Stadium?
Like he owned the town, Mike.
No, that's you're taking on your tone that you'll use for his eulogy.
We,
which really might not be that far away.
We have to We have to break.
All right.
When we come back, stand by a Baltimore Ravens fan.
Hey.
All right. That's all we'll say. Raven City, we're coming up next.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
A bitter cold night. The Giants, with a victory against the Eagles tonight, could reduce the edge to a half a game. I'm not on camera now. We're in Philadelphia at Franklin Field. The score, the New York Football Giants 13, the Philadelphia Eagles 9.
The Don and Mike Show. Raise the comedy alert level to orange, because here's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Right here. The Blackbirds. Tomorrow on the show, it's Pick the Pros, the Scab and Bleed with Rich Eisen from NFL Network. Brought to you by Tower Records and Tower.com. No one has a bigger selection of the music and movies you love than Tower, and we got our NFL Total Access music on now. Joining us pre-shower from your Baltimore Ravens, here is Terrell Suggs. Terrell!
It's Terrell.
Terrell. I know, you know, it's T-O. Sorry, Terrell.
It's all right.
I definitely know this. You are number 55 for the Baltimore Ravens defense, and I hope you don't take any disrespect when I say, in my humble opinion, it's Ray Lewis's defense. But
nope.
No, it's not?
Disrespect. That is the truth.
That's not true.
That is the truth.
Okay, that is the truth.
I've kind of ended already.
So I would say, then you go past Ray Lewis, and I'm not BSing you. It's a toss-up. Ed Reed or you. I don't know who's the next linchpin with the Ravens defense, but you're right up there. You are a bad mother father. I love watching you guys play. The Baltimore Ravens are the best defense in the National Football League. You guys are the best, really, since the 85 Bears. And this weekend, you got the Philadelphia Eagles, you got T.O. and B.O., and you are ready to kick some ass, right?
That is correct. That is correct.
That is correct, sir.
That is correct. How about that Deion Sanders?
Oh, he's a great guy. He's a great presence to be in the locker room. You know, I just love having him on the team. Not only that, I grew up watching him, so it's kind of an honor to be playing the same team with him.
You guys,
it's got to be impressive, I would imagine, for the younger guys to just look at Deion on strictly a physical level, to be able to come back, you know, after that layoff and just jump right back in. I mean, it's got to be got to motivate you guys, I would think.
It definitely motivated us. Like, it was just, we didn't know if the defense was missing anything, and we wasn't too sure if it could be added anything. But why not add the best corner ever to play the game? So it was definitely, you know, a blessing. I'm glad we got him.
So now you guys have this game this weekend with Philly, and I know that you played Philly in the preseason and the games that don't really count. And it seems to me that there's not been a lot of chatter from T.O. this week. If he was to catch a pass and be heading your way over the middle, or even if you were on one of those outside routes where you're like doubling up on the coverage, would you hit him extra hard just because he's got such a big freaking mouth?
Well, I don't really personally had no target on T.O. I don't think I ever had an opportunity. That's 52's area. So
I understand, but
I definitely, if I had a chance, I would definitely try to, you know, make some noise with it.
Yeah.
But, yeah,
and
definitely, you can expect something like that.
So what do you got? You're in the locker room right now, man. I'm a heterosexual man, married 23 years, but I must have, are all of you guys naked right now?
Wow.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Terrell, don't worry. You don't have to answer that question.
I'm glad. I'm really uncomfortable.
All right, then.
He's an
listen,
honest man.
I'll keep the secret, my sweet.
Oh, and, you're killing me with that.
I take that as a yes.
What? Can I ask him a Philadelphia question?
Sure.
I mean, is there anything different that you guys are doing to get ready for Philadelphia as far as, or you're pretty much keeping it to your regular game plan that you would have? I mean, because
we always keep it to our regular game plan, no matter who we play. You know, when we're playing our style of football, our Ravens defense, I have to say we're the toughest team to beat in the NFL.
I agree.
And our kind of defense. So we just going to stick to what we do best.
Dude, I'm one of those.
Leave it up.
I'm one of those lucky guys, one of those lucky schmucks that gets a pass to come down on the field, and I hang around after the time everybody's kicked off, and I got to hang around and watch you guys down there. And you are an incredible, ferocious bunch of mother fathers, and the stuff is not made up. I mean, it's real stuff with
right.
guys walking up to each other, and you know, you guys beat the crap out of each other on the sidelines. you really do. That's a compliment. Best defense in the NFL.
And, you know, defense, I've always thought, you know, really is probably the most fun thing to do. I mean, in football, when you're talking about just having fun playing the game, it's always great to be on the defensive side of the ball. And I think that when you have a great defense like they do in Baltimore, it's just, Terrell, you got to be having an absolute blast this season.
I'm having a great time. Who wouldn't have fun on this defense? We've got a team. We've got Deion Sanders, Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, Chris McCaffrey. Unless the next goes on, you know, I mean, we have a great group of guys on defense. And I just love to, you know, our defense consistent with a bunch of guys who love to play defensive football.
Well, you guys, like I said, you're MFers, and that's a compliment. Terrell, if we could ask you one favor. Do you know who Rich Eisen is?
Heard the name, don't really know.
Okay, well, stand in line with most of America. He's the host of NFL Total Access on your NFL network.
He is our resident.
Yeah, I know him.
Ah, yeah, he joins us every Friday on the show, and we always talk about the picks with him.
He's a white guy losing his hair. And we were wondering if you would give, he's going to be on tomorrow, if you would just say, this is, you know, Terrell's like,
perhaps you could give him a
Ravens.
Perhaps Terrell could give him a kind of just a message that would be intimidating to him, Mr. Rice.
And Rich, God, I don't know.
I think, how about we just tell Terrell, how about a little trash talk for Rich Eisen?
Yeah. Maybe tell him to stop being such an ass.
Anything.
I like Rich.
Well, all right, just anything you feel like you want to trash talk Rich Eisen. Who was the last person we played trash talk from?
Oh, I don't
who was
know.
The, wasn't it a coach or something that we
yeah,
had?
It was the, I don't, it was the, just on last week.
I know, and Terrell, if you want, yeah, we always like to tape each guest we have from the NFL so they can give Rich Eisen some trash talk. We do it just to be funny. So if you wouldn't mind, just give us a little trash talk.
He's a girl.
I really like Rich, so I don't think I can do it. I'll make up something to record it and say it was me.
Yeah, what if you just said, you know, hi, this is Terrell Suggs of the Baltimore Ravens.
And Rich Eisen is a girly man.
Or just a girl.
Okay.
All right.
Would you?
Say it.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, rolling.
This is Terrell Suggs of the Baltimore Ravens, and Rich Eisen is a Pop-Tart. He's a sweetheart. He's soft in the middle.
Yeah. Excellent. Well done.
Better than we could have asked for.
Oh, you rose to the occasion, and just like the defense always does.
Better than we could have asked for. Listen, thank you for the time. I know you're naked. You don't want to talk about it, so go get in the shower. And really, you guys, I am not kidding. You're the best freaking defense in the NFL.
Thank you. Appreciate
it. Pleasure to watch you guys. Keep kicking ass.
Thanks for coming on the show, Terrell. Bye-bye.
All right.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Hey, that was a lot of bonus.
Fun to listen in.
I thought we were going to hear a little, you know, I don't know.
You're a Pop-Tart.
You're a Pop-Tart.
A
couple of dumb
whiteys. You're a Pop-Tart. Rich Eisen. You're a Pop-Tart. You're soft in the middle.
That's sweet. That's good.
That is great.
And I meant that. I am not blowing smoke about the Baltimore Ravens defense.
Right.
I know we were talking about the Red Sox, but we had this guy, like, booked for weeks.
If you had the ability to play, seriously, if you had the God-given ability to play football, I would rather be a defensive player. Would you rather be on the defensive side or on the offensive side?
Absolutely.
So much more fun because you can hit people.
And Ray Ray, I didn't want to mention that to Mr. Suggs.
Probably a good idea you didn't do that.
Ray Ray, who is hangers-on, call him, and yes. I like to think I'm one of those hangers-on. I was at a party, two parties with Ray Ray.
And you're entitled.
And he, for God's sakes, he's going to be linking on our website.
Yes.
So,
well, there you go.
So we're friends with Ray Ray.
Very much so.
With Ray Ray.
Are you going to the game this weekend?
No. No, I'm not. I'm going to the Green Bay Packers game this week.
How foolish of me to forget your Boston Red Sox, your Packers. Absolutely.
Big win. Big win coming up for Green Bay this weekend. Oh, listen. Now that we're actually into the show, I want to mention the woman that was in the car wash last weekend.
Oh, yeah.
That was in the car wash. I talked about this on the air.
Mm-hmm.
The woman that got out of the car and everything, her name is, I have it here, Shelley. She called.
Really?
She called the station spoke to somebody, did not leave a phone number, left all of the information about where the car wash was,
right,
what time it happened.
And did she want to go? Did she want to go on the air?
Yeah, and even what kind of car they were driving. So,
well, Shelley, call us again.
So listen, she just left a message at the front desk. Call back. Apparently, it was some gigantic fight over...
Over what?
Uncle Ned told me. Over a pregnancy test.
Really?
That'll do it.
Wow.
She really wanted to talk about it on the radio and couldn't believe, you know, oh, you were in that car. So anyway.
Oh, my God.
It's her, so please call back.
I'd love to hear from her.
Tomorrow on the show, it's Joe's fourth annual trick or beer.
Yes, trick or treat for beer.
I love this.
Tomorrow is the fourth annual day. We're sending Joe out with a wagon. And a little cooler.
Cooler, right.
My little red wagon.
And he's going to be trick-or-treating.
I got a real red wagon.
For beer.
Hello?
Hello. Hey, Jordan.
Howdy.
So tomorrow, when you're out trick-or-treating for beer, and we'll be doing that at the beginning of the show, what will you be dressed as this year?
I will be Uncle Sam.
Uncle Sam.
Now, in previous years, I think your best haul has been a bottle of wine.
Right?
Yeah.
Stuff like Q-tips and Band-Aids.
What? Oh, in previous years, what have your costumes been?
Bean.
Last year I was Elvis. The year before that I was a pink rabbit. Oh. And the first time we did it, I was just myself in a Rolling Stones shirt.
The pink rabbit was the highlight, costume highlight.
Pink rabbit was wonderful.
But you know, remember, there's no better sound than Joe pulling his wagon when it's full of bottles.
Now, the difference
down
this
the
year,
street.
The difference this year is in previous years we've actually had Joe do it on All Hallows Eve. We've actually had him.
No, not necessarily.
Really? Have we done it on other days?
We've missed it. We've missed it by a couple of days. I think last year it was on a Saturday.
Oh, really? Okay.
And last year I did it on Halloween.
Oh, well.
But the years before that, I think it was the same thing where it was on a weekend.
Well, Joe.
What I'm saying is the nice thing about it is that it actually makes Joe appear more dangerous.
That's right, because he's a grown man.
And I don't believe...
Trick-or-treating 2 days before Halloween.
I don't believe you've ever had your life threatened, have you, Joe?
No.
We met a lot of nice people. Didn't some guy give you a sandwich one time? Or some crackers?
Yeah, I got a thing of crackers. I got wine. I got cheese, a slice of cheese.
You can hear it's a dynamic feature.
It sure is.
Yes, it is. With my man, Captain Joe Ardinger.
With any luck at all, he'll get another thing of crackers.
All right, Joe, we'll talk to you in the first break tomorrow.
Halloween's here. Trick or beer.
Bye-bye.
Not too late to cancel it.
This is Ardinger.
Much too late to cancel
it. Ardinger here. You're right. It is.
Do you have some wine?
Did I have something? Anything you got?
Too late to cancel. I committed on that.
A thing of crackers and a piece of cheese. Do you have any muffin mix?
This is Ardinger here.
Sure would like some pie filling.
This is Ardinger.
This is Ardinger. Fake money.
Listen, he's great at that. That's one of my favorite Joe's things of the whole year.
Do you have a spare candle?
Well, listen, I have news here. Where is Wilma?
McBride? McBride?
No, I'm not calling her. I'm calling the other woman in my life.
Oh, the luckiest lady in the world?
That's right. Oh, goddamn.
She's probably doing what Carrie's doing.
Do they have a phone extension up there?
Struggling to get through.
Oh, boy.
On the top of the world looking down on creation?
No, she's just busy counting her blessings. One.
Must be nice.
It must be.
What are you doing?
Counting my blessings. I'll be right down.
Imagine.
I'm up here counting my blessings.
Only imagine.
Leave me alone.
Yeah, try her on her cell.
I'm at 50.
If I don't get her on her cell, then I'll just announce it. But I think it's a big announcement.
I'm counting my blessings. I'm at 50.
Hi, this is Frida. You can leave.
No end in sight.
Screw it. My wife is coming in the studio on Monday, and she'll be wearing her wig.
Yay!
I, for one, look forward to that.
Oh. That's another blessing.
Coming in Monday, she's going to wear the wig. Because I brought up the creepy wig. Oh, this is probably her call. Hello?
I'm at work. I mean, I'm at your work, baby doll.
Where have you been?
I've been in the office.
Listen, so Monday you're going to come down here and you're going to wear your crazy wig?
But you shouldn't have told. You just should let me surprise them.
I know. I was hoping. Wear a whole outfit with it.
Yeah, because it's not crazy.
Alluring. Was it last night or the night before that you wore it out? And when you came home, I got home and you came home and it's like I came over to give you a hug and it was like I went, whoa.
Yeah, I asked you what was the matter because I forgot I was wearing it, and you startled. You looked so startled when
but
I
But after you got used to it, you liked it, right?
No, it still creeps me out.
Okay.
It still totally creeps me out. So she's coming in on... coming in Monday wearing her wig.
Yay.
Oh, and dig this. We're going to be playing a game with my wife on Monday.
Oh, that is wonderful.
Giving away a big prize. Let's see who can defrost that iceberg.
I feel bad because, you know, I mean, are you saying what the game is or is it?
No, not yet. No. We'll let it. It's one of our favorite games, but we've never played it with you before.
I know, and I'm afraid I'm not easy. Contrary to what you say about my younger days, I'm not easy.
I know you're not easy. Christ. Yeah, that's why I said to please somebody come see if you can, you know, break up this Titanic ice wedge.
But she'll be wearing the wig during
the crazy
entire
wig.
Game. The whole game will be in wig.
Oh, and I forgot to mention, you remember a couple of weeks ago when I told you my wife ran into Kathleen Matthews, who's the wife of that big walrus, Chris Matthews?
Yes.
So anyway, I mentioned that she said that, you know, she, you know, idiotically on her part, I said, you know, why would you tell this woman who the hell you are?
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
Right, which you did, right?
I did, and I don't usually tell anybody who I am, but I did.
I had something I was going to say about her, and I forgot what it was.
Oh, well, you were going to say you were bringing up the exchange with Kathleen Matthews where you were discussing the fact that she dropped name, that she told her name. She shared that with a famous person. Did you run into a famous person where you dropped your name?
No, it'll come back to me. It was something about Kathleen Matthews.
Was it the fact that she also wears a wig?
No.
That's not Kathleen, it's
that
Chris.
Was not it.
Oh, Chris was
Iceberg, Titanics.
It'll come back to me. It was one of those things.
All right.
Forget it. I'll call each of you listeners tonight on my way home as soon as I remember it. All right, darling. I love you.
All right. I love you, you too, even though you're getting old. Sorry about that, baby.
Oh, because I forgot what I was...
You are forgetful.
I remember what it was.
See?
That's right.
What's that?
I'll write it down.
Oh, yeah. See, it was better when he didn't remember.
Now you're just writing something mean about me. It's got nothing to do. You're just covering the fact that you forgot because you're old.
No, that's...
You're writing something cruel about me.
No, he's not.
And nobody's fooled.
I just, you know, and I need that on my forehead backwards.
So you see it in the mirror?
So I see it first thing in the morning when I wake up. You see what it says?
You know what that says?
It says, I love you.
Yeah, see, I knew it. No one was fooled. You know, all right, deny the fact you're getting old. Sorry I brought a state of the obvious.
Hold on, I remembered, and now I can say what I wrote was kill her.
Yeah.
I remembered. Kathleen Matthews, the thing I forgot to mention about her.
Yes.
Oh, because somebody said my wife had dated around. Kathleen Matthews has a checkered past as well. She also has been... In the charms of Chris Core.
Really?
That's why I said something.
Debonair.
I could have told you that. That's why I brought up...
I know, but I forgot...
Told who I was to begin with.
I forgot to mention
that,
though.
Was that before or after Chris?
Yes.
Simultaneously, which is the only reason why I introduced
myself. Hold on.
While they were married?
Hold on, no. Meaning he was doing both women at the same time.
I didn't know that, but I mean, I felt like all that time ago she was kind of a rival. She probably didn't even know. That's why I was just joking with her 20-whatever years later.
The good thing about when two women date Chris Core is they can stand in opposite corners of the room and he can look at them both at the same time.
And then listen, anybody that doesn't know who Chris Core is, and welcome to 98.8% of our audience.
I got
to
ask your wife something,
He's
too.
A talk show host here
mildly,
in Washington.
A mildly cross-eyed talk show host.
On an AM...
Jealous because you know in his day he had quite a number of the lady friends. I mean, so there were a small club.
Wait a minute, did you actually compare notes?
Keep standing up for him
with Kathleen Matthews on Chris Core?
No, what kind of notes? I mean, it was 20 whatever years ago.
No, when I'm saying when you walked up to
Kathleen Matthews, did
you bring up the fact that you guys had a similar liaison?
Right. That's why I introduced myself, not because I'm just...
Hi, I'm one of the many women that was...
not because I just said, hi, I'm married to Don Geronimo.
Right.
And then I only threw in the fact that I was married so that it wouldn't... look pathetic like I was still thinking about someone I dated 20-something years ago.
So how did you broach the subject with her? I'm curious.
I said something like, you don't even know this, but however many years ago, I thought you were quite a rival of mine because and then I told her a story. You know me, I'll say
this guy, Chris Core, you know, to even talk about him in a sexual nature, it's ridiculous because the guy's like a walking noodle.
I swear to God
he is. And not to mention...
Should we even?
You know, Sugar, you, I mean, not that there's any competition because he's not, he doesn't want me, but aren't you happy with the way life turned out? You don't have to be so negative about
it. Sure, I can't help it that every single guy in radio that I know you slept with.
That's really not true, but I could make that true. Yeah. You know, it's not too late.
Oh, no, there were a few. Before me, there were a few.
I can defuse this. I also dated Chris Clark.
Anyway, that's what I wanted to mention about
Kathleen
Matthews.
That's going to be my quest. I hate to have you be a liar, so I really am going to have to make that. I'm going to have to work on that.
All right,
but even
ahead.
Those who didn't, you know, aren't involved.
Start with Larry, please.
Chris Clark is such a hump.
Yes.
And could we at least mention...
And if I'm just checking off the ones that I've already done, that means I don't have to sleep with you anymore because, you know, I've accomplished that, so I can move on now.
Yes, you've climbed that mountain.
Okay, good.
Can we at least mention what a phony he is on his politics on his fake radio show? That you know that he doesn't believe that right-wing WMAL crap.
A lot of people become right-wing as they age, and for all I know, he does believe that. Just because he didn't believe it when he was...
God, is it any wonder I react the way that I do? You defend him with...
I'm just being rational. You defend this guy.
No, what you've said to me off the air is you can't believe... What he's done, what a total turnaround this guy's done, that the guy you knew was a Democrat all the way, and what a sellout he is. Your words, not my words.
I'm not. I never said he was a sellout. That's not true. I never said that. I said that when I knew him, he was a Democrat. But I've known my brother Lee. When he was young, he was a Democrat.
And did you sleep with him?
He was a really right-wing leader.
Did you sleep with him? Did you sleep with Lee?
No, I didn't, but I married you because you reminded me of Lee.
I know.
He was a Democrat, and he switched to Republicans. Now he's in the Weenie Party.
He is. All right. I love you. Anyway, see, I remembered what it was about Kathleen Matthews. So I'm not that old.
Right.
That's what it was. She dated Chris Core.
What was your mission? Was your mission just to make me unhappy with you?
No, promote the fact that you'll be here on the show in the studio Monday wearing your crazy wig. And playing a game.
All right, and it just ticked me off.
Now, I don't know why you'd be ticked off.
Because I don't like you taking pot, even though I'm not in contact with people that were friendly to me. I don't like you.
Chris Core, come on, I hate that guy. I've always hated him.
Well, doesn't he count as a competition?
He never did anything.
Even though he's no
you.
Competition for this show.
He was, maybe?
So you hate someone who never did anything, any harm to you. You have no reason.
Oh, no, listen, don't you remember? Listen, do you want me to go back in the day when me and Mike first went on in the afternoon when the Washington Post would actually write about radio? I remember the quotes from that guy. You know, morning radio doesn't translate to afternoon radio.
He was always the guy that got the quote, too. Bill Trumbull never said anything.
Right.
And when we did a local TV show.
Oh, with the late Glenn Brenner.
With Glenn Brenner. We were on the show with Trumbull and Core, and Bill Trumbull could not have been...
Nicer.
A nicer guy. Actually, a joy to talk to. And Chris Core was a typical radio ween.
I think that might have been because some things were said about him.
Because I said that...
Yeah, but you know what? Things just said about us. I mean, the way you handle it is you're a man enough to just walk up and talk.
He dated you, you know? And he wasn't man enough for you. You had to discard him for a better man.
If what you say is true, if you have to talk about somebody just because I dated them, all you'd be doing is talking about people I dated.
Well, that's all I do every day is talk about people you dated. That's how I spend all my time.
Every day.
I don't think it's a good idea, but on the other hand, I like the fact that you even care. So thank you, Mike.
I care desperately. Nice. Yeah, see, there you go.
Sorry. Right. And that's okay.
And I'm sure that, old Walrus Belly feels the same way. Old Chris Matthews. He and I are in the same boat in that regard.
Right. So,
we're both with women who, sadly, we both have got tainted goods.
Hey, how did she look up close without the TV makeup on?
She looked really good. She looked very attractive. Slender, pretty. She's a nice-looking woman.
Sure. You don't think she's like they got those emotional scars like you do, those Chris Gore scars?
I
can't tell you how many times we've been making love. I know we don't do this type of show anymore, but I'll tell you, and Fruit was like, no.
Did she have any obvious faults that you could detect? Any blemishes?
No, but
we'll tell you one thing, that I almost didn't recognize her because I thought she was smilier on TV.
Those big teeth weren't revealed to the entire, like, produce section.
But you would say,
I remember.
Yeah, the produce section.
His, his awkward touch.
Oh,
I felt he was the whole time attracted to the man that was standing next to us.
Rob has a question.
What?
Up close, is her hump noticeable?
Now, don't pick on her. Pick on him.
Yeah.
I never slept with her, so no reason to pick on her.
All right, baby.
All right, my darling. Hey, I love you.
I'll see you later.
Okay, goodbye.
Goodbye. So she'll be here on Monday, so my wife will be coming in Monday with a crazy wig.
When he was walking away, did anybody notice his tail?
And incidentally, I get a lot of crap because I mentioned on the air that I drive an Escalade.
Yeah, okay.
Right. Let me just say this. At least I don't brag on the air about driving a canary yellow Thunderbird convertible.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bag.
Okay.
Chris Gore.
Fake Republican. Cross-eyed freak. Banging every chick 25 years ago.
What a miracle that he was able to do that.
God, I'm lucky I didn't catch a social disease. I'm serious. Thank God my wife was clean after she was with you.
She's clean.
You AM creep.
Clean.
What am I saying, you AM creep? We're probably on like 50 AM stages right now.
I know.
We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gallons of hissing, spitting human fat melting away to a horrendous, sticky, sickening liquid pouring, boiling down the gutters as they broiled alive.
Oh, hi, Fabio.
Hi, this is Fabio, wishing you a very happy Halloween.
Thank you.
The Don and Mike Show.
They can provide storage of the troublesome stuff. Don Geronimo and Michael Miller.
We never get enough mileage out of that one.
Hi, this is Fabio.
Hi, Fabio.
Wishing you a very happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. What's happening, Fabio?
How are you?
Dude, what's happening with my computer?
Yes, you got some problem with the computer.
Anybody touch this thing?
Yeah, I was playing with it.
Ah, hold on. There it is.
I can't put the gum on it.
It is tricky. Tricky. Come on. Aren't you going to make the little sound? There it is. Yeah. Hear the little sound?
Ah, yes.
Delete. There it is.
Very elaborate piece of equipment.
Good computer. Good computer. Tonight, if you watch television...
I do occasionally.
You're going to see Bubba on one of those 2020 Dateline shows.
Right.
Shock, Bubba's going to go on TV because, you know, it's like a couple of days till the election.
Right.
And besides talking about Kerry...
Rob's wife?
Bill Clinton says when he had his heart surgery...
Mm-hmm.
Now, you got to watch the show. He says that he saw death visions. And here's the quote. I saw, like, dark masks crushing. Dark, evil masks being crushed in series. Then I'd see three circles of light. And then, like, Hillary's picture or Chelsea's face would appear. They'd fly off into the dark. It was amazing.
Death mask, dear. I wasn't quite sure. The masks were death masks, dear.
Death masks. The only thing I remember is the Batman movie where...
Phantasm?
No. The one with Nicole Kidman. Or maybe the other one. I don't know. There was one where he had a...
Which film are you talking about?
He had a problem. Was it with Val Kilmer? Kilmer was Batman?
Well, I also thought of the way they changed Jerry Hall's face when she was living with the Joker. Right?
Yeah, that was another mask. Another mask with Batman.
Drifting away now. Circles of light. Golden arches.
Who believes that?
Oh, hell, that's a Mickey D's.
Now, you're going to love this.
I can't eat there no more.
Days before the erection, coming up in 3 days now, according to Britain's Total Film, this is like their... equivalent of People Magazine or Entertainment Weekly.
Right.
They have voted Movie Villain of the Year.
Ooh, it's always good.
Here you go. You have number three, Leatherface.
Leatherface, Fabulous Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Uh-huh.
Number two, Dr. Octopus, Doc Ock.
Doc Ock was...
Spidey.
Okay.
I love that. He was
classic.
He was good. Number one, George W. Bush.
Villain of the Year.
Right.
From Fahrenheit 9/11.
Correct. Now, true. Popdirt.com. Who is the least hygienic pop star?
Male or female?
either.
But can I have a choice of sex?
Female.
Female.
It should be so obvious.
Least hygienic pop star would be Britney Spears.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know we've talked about this before, about the fact that Britney Spears, the pictures of her walking into a convenience store restrooms without shoes on.
She's so gross.
She's dirty. She's number one. Number one.
Number one.
Number two.
Yes.
Pink.
Yeah.
Pink.
Yeah, easy to see that one.
And here's why. I don't have the picture in front of me. I've got it somewhere in a file on the computer. There's a picture of her going to the bathroom, number one, behind the car door.
No.
Yeah, you seen that? You might have sent it to me.
Very, very dirty.
Perhaps like
the
rail
facilities.
Followed by Christina Aguilera, then Avril Lavigne.
Yeah.
And Nick Carter.
Oh, really?
Nick Carter. So those are the dirty stars. I know that we've said that Britney Spears is dirty always, but...
In all the pictures I see of Britney, she always looks unwashed.
Now America is agreeing with us.
For a bar of soap.
Now, the Martha Stewart thing in jail.
It's a good thing.
There's a lot of stuff that's not being reported about Martha in jail.
Really?
For instance...
The sobbing?
She's stealing food.
Oh, really? Wow.
Now this is true from the prison. She's fed up with the cuisine, with the offerings that they have on the menu.
That's too bad.
So she wants to make her own food because she's got a little kitchenette. So they caught her on Monday swiping two eggs. She wanted to make, they caught her. They said, what are you doing? She says, I'm dying for the egg salad. She had to have egg salad.
Oh,
egg salad was not available, so she stole the eggs. So now she's going to lose some kind of privileges because she's caught.
She's not a model prisoner. No.
She was caught stealing eggs. Now, here's another rule. When you're in prison, you are not going to be able to talk about business. She can have visitors, but like the people from Martha Stewart Industries
illegal
can't come and sit down and talk about business.
Right.
Well, just one day after she was busted for stealing the eggs, guess who came to visit her?
Like a stock guy?
No, her good friend, Mark Burnett.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Survivor guy.
Mark Burnett is the guy who came up with the Survivor TV show.
Right, right.
And the guy who also wants to make a TV show, possibly even a movie, about what's happened to Martha Stewart. Now, that would be illegal for them to talk about business.
Right. Oh, but they were just visiting. They're just friends.
That's right, because they're just friends. They talked about politics.
Uh-huh.
They talked about life. And they talked about Halloween. But they didn't talk any business at all.
Oh, of course they did.
No
good.
Business at all. And she stole two eggs.
I needed the eggs. I'm dying for the egg salad.
One under each breast.
Did she steal mayonnaise?
I think she makes that.
Oh!
Now, only, you know, this is like the worst kept secret in the world, that Siegfried and Roy are homos.
What?
I know!
You're kidding me.
You're still debating the Liberace thing.
Yeah, well, he was straight.
He was totally straight. He just liked to wear nice clothes.
So now it's all dried up for Siegfried and Roy, so to speak, because... You know, the one guy got eaten by... I mean, did you see him on TV?
Yeah, Roy Horn is in very bad shape.
So what they're doing now is meeting with publishers. Mm-hmm. They're setting up meetings. They're going to write a tell-all book.
Oh, good.
And it will tell about their professional and private lives.
Really?
There you go.
They may get as much as $20 million in advance.
Oh, they don't need the money either.
For telling us that they're making out all the time. And whatever it is that they're doing.
Sure.
Whatever it is.
I mean, I just hope whatever they're doing does not involve animals.
Now, the election is just 5 days away. I think I mentioned yesterday that I don't think it's going to be solved next Tuesday. This is going to go into many, many days. And now I'm reading a lot of people are thinking the same thing, that it might end up with a dead tie in the Electoral College. There could be hanging chads. Mike, do you remember from the last election the name Catherine Harris?
Yeah, Catherine Harris was the Secretary of State of Florida. I believe she ran for Congress. Isn't she in Congress now?
Yep.
Well, you might be glad. And a lot of people think she's the woman that had a lot to do with screwing up the last election.
Right. Florida Secretary of State, she oversaw the election down there.
And she was about as nasty looking a woman as you were going to find.
Well, then I think you're going to like this story. Not a feel-good now.
Lay it on me.
Okay, she is campaigning for re-election in Congress. Sarasota down by Tampa Bay. She's right. Standing on a corner. She's kissing babies. She's shaking hands. When suddenly, a car approaches. Silver Cadillac. The guy who drives onto the sidewalk, right where she's at, and starts driving the car right at her. Now, it's not an accident, because as the guy is literally a foot away from her, he swerves the car, and misses her. Nobody's hurt. They get the license number of the car that almost ran down this broad.
Right.
They go get the guy, and he says to them, listen, I'm making a political statement. This bitch almost ruined the last election. I was trying to intimidate her with my car.
Duh.
I wanted to let her know that what she did last time cost Al Gore the election.
Right.
I saw her on the street. I wanted to run her over. I know I can't run her over, but what I did was pull up close enough, just enough to scare her.
Oh, God.
I was just intimidating her with my car. Mm-hmm.
Lovely
and,
Florida.
And this guy found it hard to believe that they then, got him cuffed and took
what
him
are
off.
You doing? What are you arresting me for?
Took him off to jail.
Wow.
How great is that?
Catherine Harris.
How great is that?
I wonder how she's doing in the polls.
She's
leading in that race.
Exclamation point. I know that there's a lot of reality shows that come out. God knows. This is where I got this from. We get so much junk from these wannabe networks that want to book the stars of tomorrow today.
Of course.
On this show with reality TV.
Right.
Here's one that really has caught my eye. It's from E! Exclamation point.
E!
It's called Jap Squad. Now, it's not what you think.
No.
Jap Squad.
Jap Squad. What is it?
I'll
be glad to tell you.
Thank you.
Jewish American princess.
Wow.
It's like Queer Eye for the straight guy, but with Japs.
Interesting.
And what the Japs do is they go out and they find the women that are not dressing jappy enough.
That's, I think, an idea. That's
they
good.
They bring them up to Jap speed.
I think that would be something that would be a big seller if there's a market.
Well, God
for
knows
it.
There's a market.
Well, of course
it.
There's a market for everything. But I think that Jap Squad, I'm watching.
Which is the name.
I'll be a viewer.
The name of the show.
I'll be a good viewer.
Jap Squad.
Jap Squad coming to a TV near you.
I'll tell you why I may not be able to watch it, though.
Why?
This E! Channel, E! Exclamation.
Yes.
Does it come on basic cable? Because that's all I get.
I'm afraid it's premium.
Is it a premium?
You'd have to spend extra for it.
I won't be seeing it then.
Well, I can't say I blame you. Premium's going through the roof.
Jap Squad.
Jap Squad.
Welcome to Jap Squad.
Thank you. Thank you.
You know, that's so great. That's so friggin' great. And it'll never get on the air, but anyway. This
decorate
is
me.
And, hold on. What's this about Martha Stewart? Stanley.
Yes.
Stanley.
Hi, Don?
Yes, Don and Mike. Hi, Stan.
Hi. I'm doing fine. I heard,
we didn't ask.
What's that?
We didn't ask.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Come on, Stosh. Pay attention.
Well, thank you. For stealing two eggs, Martha Stewart, I heard she had to spend 30 days in the cooler.
Come on, ask. What town does your mom live in?
Horville.
All right.
It's a town right next to Trollope Town.
Okay. You just keep digging yourself in a hole.
Okay.
You can't help it.
You might want to eject.
I will.
Say
yes. Bye.
Eject. Okay, all right.
And really, to make that funny, it's Martha Stewart. Steal an egg, spend a night in the box.
Right, that's it. In the egg box.
We don't understand Martha Stewart around here.
A feel-good. A lady called the other day and said, where's a feel-good? Here's a feel-good. And I want to say, before I tell you the story from the Heartland, La Crosse, Wisconsin, I believe this guy. I think you'll all believe this guy.
We'll try. Okay, we'll see.
This guy's name is William Dalby. Now, he was trying to save his marriage.
God bless him.
When he threw the live wire into his wife's bathtub.
Oh, dear. Oh, my. Please explain.
I'd be glad to. He makes perfect sense.
All right.
He was only trying to scare his wife.
Right.
He told the cops that the wire was hooked to a ground fault interrupter.
Oh, okay.
And that would cut the electricity off immediately as soon as the cord got into the bathtub.
True.
Now, Some policemen think that he was trying to kill his wife to start a new life with another woman.
Oh, that's crazy. The
wife that managed to live through this said that what happened was on this past Tuesday, her husband and she went for a walk. Then they had a long motorcycle ride.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they got home, the husband said, "You've been so great, I'm going to draw you a bath."
And then he threw the wire in there.
He then drew her the bath. Mm-hmm. She was in the tub, and he threw the cord in. And she started to jump out of the tub, and that's when he pushed her back into the tub.
Oh, boy.
And she jumped out of the tub, and he pushed her back into the tub the whole time, trying to put the cord back in every single time. As she tried to get out of the tub, he tried to push her back into the tub. She got out of the tub. She called the police, and the guy said, "I just did it to save my marriage because I wanted to scare my wife into believing that we could save our marriage. The only way to save our marriage was for me to..."
Remember that time I electrocuted you, honey?
"Me to pretend to kill my wife. Only I knew that I was really going to kill my wife." And they said to the guy, "Well, why did you push her back into the tub?" He said, "Because she..." I swear to God. "She hadn't learned yet."
Yeah,
she still hadn't learned.
You see, I get this a lot, too. And the fact of the matter is my wife, Carrie, loves to eat toast while she's in the tub.
And fresh out of the toaster,
right.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, why, you don't want to be getting in and out of the toaster.
Yeah,
no.
That's
convenient.
Just not a jury
in the world.
William Dalby, we believe you.
Uh-huh.
Man says live wire in bathtub was to save marriage.
Honey, here's your electric curling iron.
You sure are pretty.
She tries to get out, and he pushes her back in.
Get back in there.
If she had learned.
Yeah, that's right.
Get back in. Go on, shoot. Ain't done frying you yet.
The first time, after she got the first shock, if she had just said, "I love you, David," or whatever his name is,
right,
then he wouldn't have had to push her back and shock her again.
Man, shocking.
That is shocking.
So anyway, that's
shocking.
That's my feel good for you.
Wow.
And when we come back, you know, it's Thursday, and you all know what that means. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. To obtain maximum enjoyment from your please observe the following precautions. When a is not being played, store it out of direct sunlight or high temperatures. Before inserting a into the, be sure that both rotate freely in both directions. The will automatically eject at the end of the. If the ejects prematurely, remove it and check for free rotation of both. If it fails to do so, a gentle outward pull on the will cause the to eject. The head should be cleaned once a month with a cotton swab, slightly moistened with 70% isopropyl alcohol. Failure to follow these precautions will decrease your enjoyment and may result in damage to your... Thank you for allowing us to spend this brief time with you. Happy... The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe in you.
Please focus on the show.
Nobody is better at being humble. Nobody.
Yeah.
The Don and Mike Show.
We're the greatest.
Yeah.
Some of the great radio stations. Right on the show right now in Burlington, Iowa. KCPS, Dallas, Texas. Live 105. Tampa Bay. 1010 WBZZ. Sacramento. KHTK.
This is a good cover. I know you like this song. I love this song.
Yeah, it's the first song, I think, by Korn. Mm-hmm. By Korn with a K.
Tyne.
That I've ever liked.
Tyne.
They got Laura in it.
When I said it about my kid, I said, because he was like calling me saying, "Dad, there's a song by Korn." And I sounded so freaking old. I said, "Yeah, you know why I like it?" He said, "Why?" I said, "They're not angry and screaming."
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Like what?" And I said, "Well, you know, like Linkin Park."
Right.
Oh. And he said, "All right, nice talking to you, Dad.
Yeah.
I'll see you later." Because the way I listen to music,
mm-hmm.
Linkin Park, and you like Linkin Park.
I love Linkin Park.
I try and listen to Linkin Park.
Uh-huh.
You know what I get?
What?
"I'm so mad that everything just wants to go in bad."
Did you Isn't that great?
There's only one guy I'll tolerate that from.
Uh-huh.
From Dave Grohl.
Ah.
With the Foo Fighters. Now, he's the guy that made up the, I'm so mad at everything that I will scream at everything.
But Dave Grohl had a lot of balance, too. So, I mean, that was awesome.
The only thing I don't like about our albums where it's like the one-trick pony, where that's all they do. I like a little bit of variety. You can yell at me, but then cuddle me a little bit.
Linkin Park can do that.
Here's a question for Linkin Park.
Yeah?
Where's the melody?
Oh, they have great melodies.
Anyway.
Where's the melody?
Listen, I think that...
don't have any melody anymore.
Getting off track here. We have a Friday favorite that we do on Thursdays now because...
One and a half drinks.
But because... Well, I'll tell you why later. Let's start. Low Budget Jeff R.D.
It's game time now on JFK with cash for you and me.
Let me ask you a question, Buzz, my friend.
Yes.
What is the movie that is opening tomorrow that everyone is dying to see?
I don't know.
Oh, come on, you dope.
No, I don't keep track.
Okay, here's a hint.
Uh-huh.
You see what Rob's looking up? I thought you really would know this.
I do.
You've not seen any ads for this movie?
The Ray Charles movie. I'd love to see Ray.
I'm sorry, but I didn't mean to embarrass you.
No, that's all right.
I
just don't have time to go to the movies.
I know.
I'm home listening to Linkin Park.
Okay. Let me ask you, Rob.
Yes, Don?
Rob?
Yes.
What is the movie opening tomorrow that everybody's talking about with Oscar buzz?
Oh, it's got tremendous Oscar buzz. The new movie, Ray.
Ray. Story of Ray Charles.
Who wants to go to the movies? How are you?
My heart.
Hi, I'm Ray.
Oh. You're Ray Romano.
He just found it out. Yeah. What's the problem?
Can you see me? Why do you have those glasses on?
I'm staying in character. You know, I wanted to actually be in character, so... Oh, come on. What's wrong with that?
It's Ray. It's not Ray Charles. It's
no, I'm Ray. And
Ray Romano.
I'm in the movie Ray. I'm taking advantage of the publicity, you know? How are you?
So... Tell me something. What was it like playing Ray Charles?
Oh, it was tough. You know, I had to glue my eyes shut. That was the hardest part, you know, learning that. Besides all the lines, you know, when you do a TV show, you don't have to do all the lines. But when you do a movie, you got to learn a lot more. And especially hard because at night I couldn't go home, you know, and sit with my wife and run lines because my eyes were glued shut.
We're talking to Ray.
Yeah, Star of Ray.
Ray Charles.
Please, Don, refer to me as Star of Ray.
Okay.
Star of Ray. There's Oscar buzz for Ray.
We're joined by Star of Ray.
Right.
Ray.
Hi. Are you looking forward to seeing the movie starring me?
Would you mind...
Georgia?
Gracing us. Yes, I'd like to hear Georgia on my mind. I'd like to hear...
Tell me what I say.
They say. Here's one of your greatest of all time.
All right, I'll do this for you right now.
Okay.
All right,
ladies and gentlemen, this is Don and Mike exclusive.
Let me Ray. My whistle. Hold on.
I love this. We're so happy. And Buzz, you didn't know the movie. How could you not
pay
know?
Attention.
Ray.
Georgia! Georgia, the whole day through, like an old sweet song, keeps Georgia on my mind. Yeah, all right, thank you, yeah.
Nice.
Put a little soul into it, my brothers.
How many fingers am I holding up?
I can't see. Eyes still glued shut. I think everyone's going to love Ray.
What can you tell us about the life of Ray Charles?
Oh, it was a tough life. And you'll see when I'm in the movie that, I had a tough time growing up in the suburbs.
Which was tougher making, the movie Ray or the movie Welcome to Mooseport?
I liked making Mooseport better because I could rely on Gene Hackman. Ray was much more of a challenge.
Why was that, Ray?
Because I had to have my eyes glued shut.
I got that.
Well, I can't get over that.
Sure.
That's hard to get over, you know? I mean, I'm really, really stressed, you know? And, you know, he's been following me around, too.
Oh, your brother Robert Charles?
Yeah. Pain in the ass.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Yeah, there he is.
He's been lying.
He's been walking around.
Come here, Robert.
He's been going on all the talk shows, and he's been talking lies. Big time lies.
Now, is he in on this? this Ray thing, this Ray Charles thing you're doing?
No, he's basically lying about me, as he's always done. Running me down, which is his style. That's what he's up, you know, he's up to. That's why he's over there in the corner grinning.
Robert, come here for a second. Robert.
Hello, Doc.
Now,
how are you? Are you enjoying the song stylings of Ray?
Now,
don't you see what he's up to?
I know it's Ray Romano.
He's not in the Jamie Foxx film.
No, he's not.
He's trying to exploit the film for his own personal gain. He's completely unscrupulous. He's without ethics, and what he's doing, Raymond is attempting to garner publicity for his show, Everyone Loves Raymond. After his own failed movie career, he's trying to attach himself to the Jamie Foxx film, which you're not in.
I am too.
Not Raymond. You're not Raymond. You're either doing this for shameless publicity, or I must tell you, Raymond, you are ill. Mentally ill.
I am not. I can't stop loving you.
Shut up, Raymond.
My mind.
No, you notice he sounds nothing like Ray Charles, who I thought was one of the greatest entertainers of all time. I enjoyed Ray Charles. Raymond doesn't even know Ray Charles' music. Ray Charles is Ray Charles. Ray Romano is Ray Romano, and I am Robert Romano.
And I believe.
Oh, F you.
I'm going to knock you out.
I believe.
I thought.
Wasn't Ray Romano born a small black child somewhere?
Now, see, I grabbed the microphone from Robert, or I forgot that I was Raymond. And I'll tell you what's wrong.
You're not Ray Charles.
Ray is a quality film, and you're going to love my performance. Yes, it is. It's makeup. It's makeup.
What's your role in the movie?
He doesn't have a role.
Shut up, Robert. Watch. I'll do this song for you right
there. Here we go.
I think you like this.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ray.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
As Ray.
My bills are all due and the baby.
Doesn't that sound like me?
And I'm busted.
And I'm busted.
That doesn't sound anything like you.
Cotton it down to a quarter of a pound.
And I'm busted.
I got a cow that can buy.
This is an insult to the great Ray Charles.
I'm busted.
The count is going home.
I'd like to tell everybody to go out and see Ray. And then if you can't get enough of Ray, you might want to tune in to a little show I call Everybody Loves Raymond.
As long as we're on the topic of that, can we talk about...
I wish you would send him home.
Robert?
Shut up, Robert.
Hey, I want to talk to Robert for a second.
I don't want to speak anymore.
Robert Charles?
I don't want to speak anymore.
Okay.
Go ahead. Don't be such a wuss.
Ray Charles, whichever one of you.
All right, I'll speak with you.
What about Raymond's new haircut on Everybody Loves Raymond? Trying to sex him up a little bit?
I'm so glad that you noticed that. You know, some of us classical actors don't require extra haircuts to be sexier. You couldn't make him sexy.
He knows.
I know from Sexy, he's no sexy.
You can't.
Sexy was a friend of mine. Ray Romano is no sexy.
You can't paint a turd.
Yes, exactly. It's impossible to make it look good. You'll never be able to take anything on him, paint anything, make up putty. And now this shameless attempt to attach himself to the movie Ray.
But aren't people going to...
Which, of course, is going to be a blockbuster
success. But aren't people going to figure out that he's Ray Romano from the dumb TV show and immediately know that he's not Jamie Foxx?
Well, haven't you figured it out? He's on some mission. He says to me, this is the logic. I heard him speak.
Okay.
He was talking with Doris Roberts on the set, the woman that plays his mother.
Yeah.
And he was saying to her that he believes if he goes on enough shows and talks about Ray, that it will somehow spill over the higher ratings for our program. And I find that to be totally ludicrous. Don't you, Donald?
Shut up, Robert.
Why don't you just sit in the corner?
I don't want to.
Hey, Ray?
Yeah. I'm going to take the microphone.
Could you grace us with another one?
Yeah.
Everybody, Ray Charles.
What's this one called?
Don't you know? It's your song, Ray.
You give your heart
to me.
And then you say
no. It slow. I hardly see. Of course, my eyes are glued shut. Remember, you don't love me. I hate Patty Heaton.
Oh, you don't love me. How's that, huh? It's pretty credible.
This is not flying.
Oh, it is flying.
You are Ray Romano.
I am not. I'm Ray. Just call me Ray. We don't need... Oh, this is good. I love this. Eleanor Rigby.
Eleanor Rigby. Picks up the rice in the church where a wedding has been.
I think you've stumped me.
Is it a dream?
It's out the window.
Wearing the face that she keeps in a jar.
On the pillow. Under the bed. All lovely people.
Lovely people.
Where do they all come from?
Shut up, Raymond. You're embarrassing yourself.
I am not.
You are too. Don't wrestle me with the microphone.
Guys.
All right. All right, I admit it.
Okay, great. You're not Ray Charles.
No.
You're Ray Romano.
I'm Ray Romano, otherwise known as Ray Barone.
Mm-hmm.
This is my brother, Brad Garrett.
He's not really your brother, though.
You're right. I'm Brad Garrett. I'm Brad Garrett, and I actually talk like this.
Oh, in real life, you do.
Yes, I do.
You tweak it up for the show, though.
But I need help with my eyelids.
Your eyes are not glued shut.
I swear to God, they are.
They are not.
Yeah, I tried to make it work. I thought it would be credible. Look. I can't do it. Ow.
I'm really pulling your eyes in line.
Ow.
Hey, you almost made yourself look Japanese.
Ow.
Oh.
Bill Red Sox. Oh, my God. Man. Hey, can I just have a shameless plug?
Sure.
Please, you know, we've been on a number of seasons right now, and I'd just like to say, I sure hope everybody watches Everybody Loves Raymond.
What do you
got
care?
A great cast.
You like one of those shows. Aren't they getting something like, aren't you getting like $11 million an episode to do like 20 episodes? Or?
I wish I had a dime for every dime I had. Who cares?
So why are you coming in here with this Ray Charles thing?
I thought it'd be a good bit. But, you know, Brad indicated he didn't want me to do it. So, you know, I came in anyway. I thought it'd be fun. What do you think? You like it? Huh?
Can we talk about the Mooseport thing?
What a disaster.
That sucked.
Hackman's fault.
Now, why is it Hackman's fault?
I'm the new kid. I'm the new talent. I could have carried that movie. They gave too much to Hackman. Egad! The eyes are still El Stucco. El Stucco eyes. Let's play some more Ray Charles.
Eleanor Rigby.
Well, may I interject something?
Yeah, Robert.
I find the entire situation right here in your studio to be a tad bizarre. We are in the land of Bizarro.
Let's play.
Bizarro Ray.
Let's
Bizarro Don and Mike.
Let's play low budget Jeopardy.
No!
Okay, let's do that.
I don't want to.
It's crying time again.
I actually fancy this number. This is one of my favorites.
I can see
the original Ray Charles, Don. Say yes, Robert.
Yes, Robert.
He will be missed.
Listen, you want to play Low Budget Jeopardy right now with Ray?
No!
Call 877-365-3636, Canada, Mexico, 800-636-1067. We need two challengers this week.
He's off his rocker. He is. The strain of the TV show or the hit TV show as my appetite comes loose. I must tell you, Donald.
We must talk.
The strain of the show has driven Ray to madness.
Ray, how are you?
I'm all right. I'm just back here going crazy. But listen, I memorized it. Here I go. Out of the Rigby. There we go. Thank you very much. Where's my cane?
We'll be back with Ray.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, my God. Ray, you know, most husbands like cuddling with their wives.
Oh, they don't.
Yes, they do.
No, nobody likes that. Nobody. The only time a guy likes cuddling is if he thinks it's going to lead to lower cuddling.
The Don and Mike Show. Expect a miracle every day on the Don and Mike Show.
So there you were, Raymond.
Yeah, I was just clipped from my show. Are you ready, Steve?
Andy?
Nick?
All right, fellas.
Let's go.
Let's go.
La, 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 la.
Now you were in this band, too?
Yeah. No, I'm just trying to get my stuff together here. Sorry. Let me sing this song for you that I've memorized. I'm Ray Charles.
Eleanor Rigby.
La 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 la.
We are here.
My eyes hurt.
We are here.
It's worn off.
Because it's glued. Your eyes are glued shut.
Eyes are glued shut. Hi.
Hi, we're here with
Ray Romano.
Ray.
Ramone.
Star of the movie Ray, opening in cinemas all over America this weekend.
Go see the movie and then go see my TV show.
Right. Let's
watch them on the same day. I'm syndicated.
Play Low Budget Jeopardy.
This is Low Budget Jeopardy. Now entering the studio is a dental technician from Spokane. Let's say hi to Brian Strobel.
Brian. Hey, Brian, congratulations for advancing in a woman's field.
Thank you.
And now entering the studio is a high school teacher.
Isn't that right? Isn't that like a male nurse
thing? Yeah, it's
like
a girly job.
There's no female where I work.
Are you a hygienist?
No, we make the dentures.
Oh, you make dentures.
Oh, you make? Okay.
More manly.
I take it back. Yeah, that's a manly job.
Now entering the studios, a high school teacher.
Yeah, baby.
From Baltimore, Maryland. Let's say hi to Melissa Owens.
Hey, hi, Melissa.
Hello.
Baby, we have a Chris Owens that works here at the station.
What? Oh. What grade do you teach?
I teach 11th grade.
Juniors.
Yeah.
Big kids. Mm-hmm. Big kids, big problems.
Anybody ever shoot at you?
They didn't hit me.
There you go. Good. And now entering the studio.
Hold on, you know what you need?
Five.
As a salute to our teachers.
How about a song? Hey, Melissa?
Yes.
This one's for you. Eleanor Rigby. How am I?
One of my favorites.
Thank you. Oh, and now entering the studio is the host of Low Budget Jeopardy, Brian and Melissa. Don't screw with LQ.
No,
and
no.
Say hi to Alex Trebek Geronimo.
Hi.
Hi, Brian.
Hi there. Hello.
Hi, Brian.
Hello. Melissa, kids here.
Hi.
Here are your categories, and they are Everybody Loves Raymond.
Thank you.
Red Sox World Series Trivia.
Thank you. Thank you.
America's Busiest Airports.
Oh, that's a good one. I've been through all of them.
Our top 10 all-time money-making sports movies.
Sports movies. Well, you know, I play a sports writer on TV when I'm not playing a singer in the movies. Listen to this. I'd like to dedicate this to you. Eleanor Rigby. Thank you.
And finally, the human body.
The human
Your categories
are... The human body.
Categories are Everybody Loves Raymond.
Good one.
Red Sox World Series Trivia.
Great one.
Our Busiest Airports.
Okay, one.
Money-making sports movies and the human body.
The human body.
Melissa, you're a girl. We like girls better than boys. We'll start with ye.
I will take the human body, please.
Darn right you will.
Yeah, all right. Consider it offered.
This is the large... This is the largest bone in the human body.
What is the fibia?
No, not the fibia.
Brian, your chance to steal.
What is the femur?
Yes, the femur.
Oh.
That is your upper leg. That's the longest bone.
Select again, Brian.
Bone.
Let's go to the Red Sox. Trivia.
No, you have to finish with the body first.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Let's continue with the human body.
There you go. Next to your skin. This is the largest human organ.
What is the liver?
He got
it. Wow.
He got it. That's pretty good.
Well, he's a dental technician.
I had to read all this out of a book.
$2 for you. Select again, Brian.
That's a shock. I didn't know this.
Let's keep going with human body.
Okay, this is the most the food that most people are allergic to, beating out milk, shellfish, and eggs.
What is nuts?
Correct.
$3. Wow. Somebody paid attention in class.
Wow.
Select again, Brian.
So are we done with human body?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Yeah,
you
had me at nuts. what are you doing over there?
Let's go to the...
Excuse me. Hold on a second.
Robert.
I was wondering, am I going to be relegated to the corner for the entire game?
That's up to you. You can come out now. You can come back when it's time.
I just wanted to ask permission if I could possibly come over and use the microphone. And you could ask Mr. Romano to sit down because I can also sing.
Go ahead.
Eleanor Rigby. Thank you. The church where a wedding has been. I'll go back to my corner.
Yeah, that's the way it ought to be, badass.
Neither one of you is Ray Charles.
Hi.
Hi.
I am too.
Brian.
Brian's in control. Select again, Brian.
Let's do the Red Sox World Series trivia.
Okay, Red Sox World Series. Here you go. The last year the Red Sox won a World Series before last night.
What is 1918?
Yeah, wow. Hey, baby. Wow, yeah.
Go. All right, go again, Brian.
Let's stay with the Red Sox trivia.
Before the Cardinals,
baby, wow.
The last team who beat the Red Sox in the World Series. Yeah, of course, they beat the Cardinals. Who's the last
one? Oh, who is the New York Mets?
Oh, boy, this guy is good.
Wow. $2, you got a perfect game you're throwing, Brian. Select again. What was that?
Let's
Melissa?
I think she just said,
She was sighing ruefully.
Here we go. For three, the year that the Mets beat the Red Sox.
What is 1986?
Yeah, you're rolling right along.
I was like the Ken Jennings of this show now.
Wow. All right, go ahead.
Is that it on Red Sox trivia?
Yeah, yes, it is.
Let's go to sports trivia, please.
All right, sports movie.
Movie.
The top 10 all-time money-making sports movies in America. This, for one, this boxing movie starring Sly Stallone, believe it or not, is the number one grossing money-making sports movie of all time.
What is Rocky? Oh,
negative. No. All right, Melissa, your chance to steal.
What is Rocky 3?
No.
No, it's Rocky 4, the one.
Rocky 4.
The one where he fought the big dumb Russian guy.
Oh, Dolph Lundgren.
That's the biggest money-making sports movie of all time.
All right, well, Brian, you got to step back on the game here. Come on.
Okay, let's keep going with the sports movies.
All right, from 1996, this basketball movie is the number two all-time money-making sports movie.
What is Blue Chips?
Melissa, your chance to steal.
What is Hoosiers?
No. This is where this list is kind of tricky. It's Space Jam.
Space Jam!
Remember the movie with Michael Jordan?
Oh, and you give me a hard time about Welcome to Mooseport?
Michael Jordan and Bugs Bunny. Listen, all I'm saying is that is the number two sports movie of all time.
Well, maybe instead of Gene Hackman, they could have used the Tasmanian Devil for me. But let me sing a song while we're waiting. Eleanor Rigby. La, 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 la.
And here we go for three. Are you ready?
Yes.
Adam Sandler stars in the number three grossing sports movie of all time.
What is Waterboy?
Yes, it's The Waterboy.
Wow.
But we'll give it
$3 for you, Brian.
Yeah. You know, everybody that I asked about that list said, where's Field of Dreams? Where's Remember the
Bull
Titan?
Durham.
Right. Bull Durham? No, got their ass kicked. Okay, Brian, go again.
Let's try the Everybody Loves Raymond.
Okay.
About time.
He simply is the best linebacker in the National Football League.
Who is Ray Lewis?
$1 for Brian. Select again.
Ray.
Go for
right
number
here.
Two on Everybody Loves Raymond.
They had the hit song, Fly.
What was it?
Hey, Melissa, your chance to steal.
The Rays. I have no clue. What are the Rays?
No.
Oh, sorry. Sugar Ray.
Sugar Ray. And Brian, you're still in control.
Let's go with the third one.
He gave us the immortal hit, Ahab the Arab.
Oh, God. Melissa, your chance to steal.
Class Ray Stevens?
Yeah!
Wow!
Winner!
There you go.
You're on the board, Melissa.
I'm
You're
losing.
Going to final low-budget Jeopardy.
Ahab the Arab by Ray Stevens.
That's good stuff.
So, Melissa, here's all we have left now is the airports, okay?
Okay.
So that's where you got to go with,
okay. I'll take our world's busiest airport.
America's busiest for one. Okay. Last year, this was the number two busiest airport. Now, this Mid-South location is the busiest airport in America.
South.
And listen, who's talking
what
back there?
What is Atlanta?
No. You know, the buzzer got you. But I
think she got it.
I hear the guy. Hey, Brian.
Yes.
What are you doing back there?
Just waiting to answer.
Who are you talking to?
talking to the guy at work.
What?
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
Oh, I had a phone call. I told him to take a message.
Ah. Mm-hmm. You know what? I think you're right. We'll give it to her.
Yeah, $1.
We'll give it to her just because he might have been cheating. She did say Atlanta even as she was being buzzed.
All right, $1 from Melissa. You're still in control.
Nathan's busiest airport.
All right. Last year, this was number one. Now, this Midwest location is the number two busiest airport.
What is O'Hare?
Chicago, correct.
$2 for you, Melissa. Way to go. Select again.
All right. Okay. The nation's busiest airport.
Okay, darling, catch the red eye for the busiest airport number three.
What is JFK? No.
Oh. Ryan, your chance to steal.
Oh, I know.
How about Los Angeles?
Yeah.
How about that was not in the form of a quiz?
Oh, no. Was it LAX?
Yes, it was.
And that's the end of the first round of Low Budget Jeopardy.
That's it. Let's see. Ray?
Hi. Right here. I don't want to sing it anymore.
What's the score here, Ray, as we go to the final Low Budget Jeopardy?
Melissa Owens finishes with $6. Brian has $16.
All right, kids. Don't worry now, Melissa. Anybody can win Final Low Budget Jeopardy.
Yeah, right.
We physically force you both to bet it all. Here's your category. It's good vibrations.
Vibrations.
And here's the answer. The current age of Fox Westwood One fake newsman and conversationalist Bill O'Reilly. So you get it, vibrations? It's the current age of Fox Westwood One fake newsman, conversationalist Bill O'Reilly. A kid's over, get answered in the form of a question, and a good lock.
All contestants on Low Budget Jeopardy will receive an official pair of Ray Charles sunglasses. Hey, would you like to be blind for a day? Now you can with these classic sunglasses. Throw in my special 24-hour eye glue and get ready to enjoy a day of blindness you won't forget.
Wow.
Enjoy the fun of getting stared at, cars almost hitting you, knocking over lamps, and smiling at the wrong time. Ray Charles sunglasses. Get yours today. And enjoy the kind of fun that blind people enjoy. Now back to Final Moments of Jeopardy with Alex.
It's game time now and
that's here for the blind people.
It's fun. I don't want to sing.
Eleanor Rigby. I know you.
Come on.
I know you don't.
All right. Come on.
Talk to Melissa first, okay?
Melissa, my little Melissa. Sweet Melissa.
Melissa, it's the current age of Fox Westwood One fake newsman Bill O'Reilly.
I said 53.
That's not even in the form of a question, darling.
Oh.
Sorry, that knocks you down to zero.
Brian, if you have the answer, you're the big wiener.
You know what? I said the same thing that Melissa did.
Yeah, 53, no.
Oh, you're down to zero. Boy, Michael Hughes is happy.
Yeah, no money being given away today. And listen, Bill O'Reilly,
yeah.
Double nickel, 55.
Is he 5'5"?
55. Wow. The sexy Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah, he's a sex machine.
Listen, we're giving away no money today. That'll make Todd Hughes happy. Ray Romano, please tell Brian and Melissa what they've won.
Hello, Melissa.
Oh, hi, Robert.
Hello, Don. Brian, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Are you crazy kids ready for your prize?
Yes.
You both won a pair of tickets to join Comedy Central and Lewis Black from The Daily Show with Jon Stewart for a private, politically packed stand-up routine this Monday, November 1st at the DC Improv.
Oh,
congratulations, kids.
Thank you.
I think this guy Brian is from Washington.
Well, that's what planes were invented for.
Is there an HBO thing you can give him there?
Brian, we're going to give you the HBO Family Bronze Prize Pack. Meet the Evangelist is a real-life family of bounty hunters. Not actors, just characters. Sunday nights at 10, 9 central. Only on HBO. They're great characters. Brian?
Yes.
We've replaced your Lewis Black Prize with the HBO Family Bonds Prize Pack.
Thank you.
Is that all right with you?
Thank you,
that
Brian.
Is wonderful.
Remember, beggars can't be choosers.
Thank you, Brian.
That's right.
Thank nice you. Chatting with you, Brian.
Thank you, Melissa. Thank you. Thank you, kids.
Thank you very much. Well, my sweets. My sweet.
Keep the secret, my sweet.
Keep the secret, my sweet. Oh, she talked back to you.
Ooh. Thank you, Melissa.
Oh, yes, sweet. And now, I'm Robert, doing Ray Charles.
Eleanor Rigby. Yes, I've got quite an ability for singing, don't I?
When do I get back on the mic?
Come on, Ray. Come back here, Ray.
All right, thank you.
All right, Ray.
Thank you.
Well, listen, it's not been Ray Charles.
No.
It was Ray Romano.
Yeah, I'm Ray Romano the whole time. I'm not in the movie. Now the secret is out. Now you'll be able to tell. But with lighting and makeup, you don't know what you can do, you know?
And then
I wish Jamie Foxx the very best of luck.
And the glue in your eyes.
Glue in my eye was real. That's real super glue.
Real fast. Ray Romano?
Skin under my eyelids.
Let's do a real fast first things first.
First things first.
Who's funnier? Jamie Foxx or Jamie Farr?
Jamie Farr.
Oh.
Come on, I'm one for one. Come on, right back at you. Let's go.
Jamie. God, I can't come up with another. If we're playing the Jamie guy. Oh, hold on. All right. Jamie Lee Curtis or Jamie Farr?
And the question is, who's more manly? Jamie Lee Curtis. Two for two.
Yeah.
I love these games. I enjoy word games at home.
Sure.
I'm a very boring man.
I like your haircut, though.
Hey, it's sexy, isn't it?
Your sexy haircut. Yeah,
absolutely. I tell you, if Patty Heaton gets another boob job, we're going to double our rating share.
Does she know you're doing this fake blind thing?
Watch this. I'll talk along with the tape.
Okay.
In a world.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden.
One man
found a way to bring good news to his people.
It was Buzz.
He made it up. Buzz,
yes.
I'll sing it one more time for you. Eleanor Rigby. Thank you.
You are not Ray Charles.
I'm Ray Romano.
You are not. Buzz?
Yes.
Howdy.
Hi.
Hi.
What is
it, Ray?
Hi.
I hear you have a movie this weekend.
Yeah, big movie, Ray.
That's great.
Starring me.
What's your lead story on the news and comments, Buzz?
Today, I will tease you with a series of questions. Which is more political?
Okay.
Telling you about a terrorist threat, not telling you about a terrorist threat, or telling you there is one and then not giving any details?
What were those options again?
Telling you about the threat, not telling you, or telling you there is one but not telling you anything else.
Let me think about it for a second. Just give me a second.
All right.
And Eleanor
Rigby.
I would choose the first.
It's really a rhetorical question.
Oh.
The topic of our story.
I understand. It's a tease.
Yes. Oh, I get it.
It's not like a test or a quiz.
No, there's no correct answer.
No, really. The test will be me walking out of the studio when I bump into the door.
Stay tuned for news and comments coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Ray.
Thank you, Don.
Remember, that was very
professional. Bye.
I'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Let them commit a vile act involving your fate.
Hi.
Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Kobe time. Here we go. You're listening to us on KIKK in Houston, Texas, in Baltimore. Live 105.7. In Buffalo, 92.9 WBUF, and Portland, Maine, 970 WZAN. Today it's time for news and comments now with Buzz, brought to you by Smoke Break.
This is good smoke.
Smokers break the nasty habits of getting weight. Smoke Break.
Someone call for a doctor.
Revolutionary tablet for smokers. Get it now at fine retailers. Here is Guy J. Burley. Hi, Guy.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Buzz, I'm sorry.
What? What's happened?
It's the day before Halloween.
And we all know what that means.
And really, we all know what that means. Yes. I have not played it once yet.
I know.
This year.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Scared kids. So give me just a second, Buzz. It's Super Shamrock. Hurry, kids.
It's almost time, kids.
Time.
The clock is ticking. Be in front of
your
TV.
Don't do it, kids.
For the horror-thon.
Do it, you little bastards.
Don't put those masks on.
Put the masks on.
Your face will turn to worms.
Let the worms eat your face, you little bastards. Come on, you stupid mistakes. You can tell I'm ready for the kids.
Yes.
Hi, mistakes.
Hey, come on, you're a soft touch. You're full size, man.
That's right.
This is really going to be scary. I'm not feeling it this time.
Anyway, it's been, I don't know, a year.
I know it's going to be scary.
We played today, but I hate to break into the buzz no, this time, please. But...
Oh, wasn't that scary?
Tomorrow we'll be celebrating Halloween on the show.
It isn't Halloween without that song.
And you should know tomorrow, for the fourth annual year,
yes?
Joe Ardinger trick-or-treats for beer with his little blue wagon.
Yay. Very exciting, kid.
Live on tomorrow's episode.
I'm not kidding you.
And now here's Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi, Buzz.
Before I get to the important terrorism news of the day, and I don't mean to diminish that news by any stretch, but I have a breaking story here that I know you guys and a lot of our audience will be particularly interested in.
Hold on, give me a second.
You might want to get the rip-torn tapes handy, because, ladies and gentlemen, we have a verdict. We have a verdict in the rip-torn alleged drunk driving case.
Yeah, alleged.
The actor has been found. You want to guess?
Based on the tape or
based on you getting not guilty. Not guilty. Not guilty of drunk driving charges after his car collided with a New York taxi cab. The acquittal comes after they saw the videotape in court. The jury saw the same tape we've been listening to and determined he was not intoxicated.
That's a hell of a lead at the time of his arrest. That's a hell of a lead, Buzz. And let's review the tape again.
Yes, I think we should. Try to hear what the jury heard.
American justice.
Yes. Unbelievable.
Okay, let's listen. Now, they found him
not guilty.
I'm telling you, you guys are all going to jail. And you are all f***ing out of line. Take my car. You've been arrested for operating a motor vehicle while under the influence.
I was hit by a taxi.
I need you to listen to me, okay?
What?
I need you to listen to me right now.
Was I hit by a taxi?
I don't know, sir. I wasn't out there.
Yeah, oh no. I was hit by a taxi.
You refused to submit to a taxi?
I won't say anything until you take the stuff.
Well, what's your name?
I will not say anything until you take the
stuff. Have you introduced evidence to get to say anything?
At what point are they thinking not guilty?
At any trial? I have witnesses.
It's coming up here.
What?
Do you think it's the...
One and a half drink.
He only had one and a half drink.
That's the point.
Don't tell you guys. Take these cuffs off.
I act like a gentleman after I have a coffee for nothing. Out.
Relax.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to send you all to jail. I have not had a chance. And all these cops.
Not guilty.
Call my lawyer. Mm-hmm.
Just a drink and a half. That's all he has.
Breaking news.
I'm staggered. Did he, plead guilty to a lesser charge?
You're staggered.
Hey.
No. He was acquitted. He was found not guilty of drunk driving.
Did they see the tape of the accident?
The jury saw the same tape that we're listening to a portion of. At one point, in this New York City Police Department tape, he calls the police officers egregious bastards. And the jury saw all of that. They heard all of that. But... as we heard here, he only had one and a half drinks, so the jury had no choice but to find him not guilty.
I think Sean Taylor of the Redskins should find Rip Torn's attorney immediately.
Absolutely.
And call him like yesterday.
That's bad luck right there. The trouble, now back to the terrorism story.
Back to the other news.
Yes, the trouble with getting a threat from a terrorist in the week before a presidential election is that no matter what anyone does, it looks political. ABC News got hold of a video featuring a man claiming to be Al-Qaeda, speaking in English and warning U.S. citizens that, quote, blood will run red in the streets of America.
Here's a copy of the tape.
Oh, good.
Only the...
If only...
Goddamn.
It actually
Rob.
Worked.
Here's the...
Mm-hmm. Here's the tape now. Jesus. Let's go to the tape.
Our tapes work so well.
It's going now.
Sort of.
Now it's ready.
Okay. Now it's ready?
Uh-huh. All right, now here's the Al-Qaeda spokesperson.
Oh, good. How did it start again?
About blood running in the streets.
The guy who spoke English?
Yeah.
Right.
Hi, this is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Okay, see, sorry.
But you tried. It was not your fault.
30 seconds ago.
That's not your fault. Would have been golden.
Would have been a throwaway.
Yeah.
But now all you hear is the sound of the tape. Was a video.
That's video from Tom Monroe and his tribute to life in the big city. Downtown's the place to be. From Tom's disc entitled Tom Monroe Sings Petula Clark.
Petula. That was the...
Hi, this is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, now it works. Okay, listen, about...
Now he's chatty.
About this threat.
Yes.
Which...
The tape that ABC got.
I'm aware of. Let's talk about this. We should discuss this.
Well, let's hear some facts, shall we? remembering what CBS has just been through, ABC didn't air the tape right away. They turned it over to the government. ABC said it was being careful. Shifty internet journalist Matt Drudge then accused ABC of sitting on the story. So
who
the
did
tape,
that, Buzz?
Shifty internet journalist Matt Drudge. He accused ABC of sitting on the story so the tape wouldn't frighten people into re-electing George Bush. So how did Drudge find out about this?
This is really going to be scary. I'm not kidding you this time.
I'm not kidding either. ABC figures someone in the government gave Drudge the tape, leaked it to him, hoping that it would frighten people into re-electing George Bush. ABC said it would rather be right than first, and that's why it sat on the tape rather than, quote, broadcast something that would be quite frightening. The network says it's waiting for the FBI and the CIA to certify the tape as authentic, not some hoax or election year trick. The Drudge Report says the tape has now been authenticated by those agencies, even though the tape does not feature Osama bin Laden or any of his henchmen that are well known to our government.
I know it's going to be scary.
Now, despite what shifty internet journalist Matt Drudge says, the FBI and the CIA say they are still studying the tape and have reached no conclusions yet. They're still trying to identify the speaker, and officials say they are grateful to ABC News for handing it over rather than broadcasting it.
Okay, thoughts?
Yes, time for thoughts.
Thought is ABC did the right thing, in my humble opinion. Mm-hmm. If they got a real tape from a real terrorist, you know what you do? You don't put it on TV. You go give it to the government.
Sure.
And I don't think if there was a credible threat against America on Election Day, which, come on, no one talks about this, but it's what we're all thinking.
Oh, yeah.
We're all thinking that something's going to happen. Not that we're hoping it does.
Right.
But if, in fact, they got a tape and they've got a credible tape and they went on with it, I don't see how that makes anybody vote for one guy or the other.
No way.
Either way, it's Al-Qaeda trying to screw up the election, if in fact, that's true. So
If you're holding down turnout, you would, I think, be trying to benefit Bush, it would seem to me.
Okay, yeah, now we have an update just coming in now. They still haven't positively identified the man, but we understand the FBI is now talking to a fellow in California by the name of Adam Gadon to see if he is the man on the tape. The man does speak English when he threatens this second 9/11 style attack.
Well, then, you know, if it's credible, put it out there, and I don't think people take it politically. I know, anybody else here feel this way? It wouldn't make me vote pro-Bush, anti-Bush,
no.
Pro-Bush, pro-Kerry, anti-Kerry.
I think people
have
made their minds up by now. Right. Right.
I think as Americans, what we would appreciate would be from whoever our government is, the truth.
So
if there is a real threat, and God knows, how many times over the last 3 years have we gone through red alert, orange alert, you know, anthrax alert. Hey, it's 3 days before the election, 5 days before the election. You got something you think that might be real?
Mm-hmm.
You've called Wolf a million times already.
Right. I've seen the tape.
Call it one more and?
And I think Rip Torn is innocent.
I think the guy on the tape only had 1.5 drinks.
Easily.
It does now appear to be just a guy in Orange County. I don't know. The FBI is talking to him. We'll find out.
You guys are all going to jail. And you are all
not guilty.
I don't remember.
Anyway, so yeah, if it's real, tell us about it.
It appears, it's too early to tell. But like I said, it appears to be a guy who lives in Orange County. It does sound like ABC was right in holding off on broadcasting.
So just
the
a guy that's trying to scare people.
We don't know that for sure. Maybe he's a terrorist who lives in Orange County, California. That's what we're waiting to find out. But
dude, you mean terrorists would live in the O.C.?
That's possible.
But they got the guy, right? They got the guy in custody?
They're talking to him. Yes, they do have him.
I hate it when they say that. They're talking to him.
Yeah,
you know?
No, they have him in custody.
Talking to him with cuffs on.
In the O.C., you've got Peter Gallagher and those gigantic eyebrows.
Right. The O.C. And isn't he the king of In American Beauty? Isn't he the king of real estate?
Yeah, he's right.
I fire a gun.
Annette Bening cannot wait to get into the sack with him.
Your Majesty.
The king.
But one thing I think we've learned from this is that internet journalist Matt Drudge is still shifty.
Absolutely.
And I think, you know, again, I'm not the smartest guy here, but I interpret some type of very subtle, you got something, I think, against this guy, Drudge. But yeah, I want to give you this. You're subtle with it, and you know, it takes certainly a smarter man than me to
figure
it out.
That's right. I know why Buzz hates Drudge.
Why?
He stole his idea of the hat.
Yeah. Love that hat.
People should realize that Buzz does the news every day with a fedora.
That is mine.
But it says press in it. There. You know, I'm not bright enough to put it all together, but maybe later tonight. I'll call you later tonight.
Have you mean you fun. Think Buzz might have an agenda?
I think so.
Yeah, you are super sleuth.
I think he's got something against that guy Drudge, but the thing is, he's so goddamn smooth.
Try to catch him.
You never can tell.
Yeah. One more kind of amazing thing has happened to the government's 9/11 commission.
Yeah.
He's shifty.
Yeah.
All right.
Another kind of amazing thing has happened to the...
Really, why do you hate Drudge? I mean, I hate him just because he acts like he knows everything.
I hate him because of his name.
Why do you hate him, Buzz?
Partly because of the politics he tries to hide.
I really should clarify my statement. I hate the name Drudge. It sounds like sludge.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like he's dirtying.
That's no accident.
Dirtying the country.
Mm. Why do you hate him, Buzz?
Partly because of the politics he tries to hide, and partly because he's just shifty.
Shifty.
Look at the story today. The thing he's trying to do with ABC. I think he's wrong.
Well, Rob,
I think he's brilliant.
Of course you do.
Oh, wasn't that scary? He just likes the hat.
Huh?
So another kind of amazing thing has happened to the government's 9/11 Commission report. We told you recently that this thick government document, normally the type of thing that would put a person to sleep, had rocketed to the top of the bestseller chart. We told you how the report was, even more unusually, a finalist for America's most prestigious literary award, meaning it's also well-written.
It's a page-turner, Buzz.
Even though it's the work of like 90 people.
It's a page-turner. You know, I thought I knew the ending, and then they got me. It's a page turner. I wish it was still sunny out. It's a great beach book.
It was a beach book.
It's a 9/11 commission.
It will fascinate.
Can you imagine going to the beach with that book?
Yeah. It outsold the South Beach Diet. It did number one this summer. The latest development on this amazing report is the TV show. NBC says it will make the 9/11 Commission report into a mini-series dramatizing the events that led up to and through 9/11.
I hope they can get George Eads.
Oh, please get George Eads.
From CSI. He was so good as Evel Knievel.
Get this. It's an easy moneymaker for the network. It's, on one hand, a disaster movie. On the other hand, it won't cost the network a cent in terms of rights.
That's right, because you don't have to pay the author.
The report's in the public domain.
That means you're going to have 20 of them. 20 of them will be coming out before the end of the year.
As a matter of fact, ABC says it plans to make one, too.
I hope Ben Affleck is a star in the big screen version.
Oh, please bring it on.
Please, please, please. Freedom isn't free. The upcoming election to select a president and a slew of congressmen will be the most expensive in history. $4 billion.
Oh.
Yes?
Uh-oh, somebody got a brainstorm.
Yesterday, something I just remembered. Wow. When we were talking, and I was saying yesterday I didn't think that the election would be settled on the 2nd.
Right.
It would roll over.
Yeah.
I'm reading today. Now, this is a bad scenario, but it might happen.
Mm-hmm.
If the Electoral College, as I mentioned yesterday, if that's a tie,
right,
then it goes to
Congress.
The House...
House of Representatives.
House of Representatives.
Right.
Now, they pick the president.
Mm-hmm.
It's Congress that picks the vice president. Or it's somebody else that picks the vice president.
One house picks the president, the other picks the vice president.
I think the Senate picks the vice president.
They can be from separate parties.
That's it. Now, here's the deal.
Congress is both the House and the Senate.
Okay. The group that would pick, in the case of a tie,
mm-hmm.
the group that would pick the president is predominantly Republican. The group that would pick the vice president is predominantly Democratic.
Actually, Congress is not. Is Congress both?
Congress is both houses. Yeah.
It is possible. One of the scenarios, which has got like a 33% chance, mm-hmm. is that it's a tie, and it ends up being President Bush and Vice President Edwards. If it's a tie in the Electoral College, that's how they do the tiebreaker.
That is kind of nuts.
If that happens, I hope they don't keep Edwards out of the loop.
One side picks the president, the other side picks the vice president.
Uh-huh. That'll be fun.
That's kind of insane.
Yeah, I know. And pleased to be checking out my Nostradani ability. Now that's all you're hearing about. People saying they're positive. There's no way this is going to be decided on the 2nd. They think it might go all the way to December now.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, watch the news.
I'm saying we will have a new president on Wednesday morning.
I think you're right. I hope so.
Not a chance. It
is possible. And yes, the Electoral College meets to take its vote on December 13th.
As a matter of fact, we'll have a new president on Wednesday.
And you know what else is retarded?
Wow.
The whole Electoral College. You know, the more I look into this situation now, you know, one state counts this many points.
Yeah.
The state counts this many points. What happened to the old thing about you just get all the people in America to vote and you just count their votes up?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's not how we get our president.
I'm not a political scholar, Don. No.
I am, Mike.
But I don't think I could explain to you why the Electoral College works, but I've heard it explained before, and I know there is some logic.
I think it works in horse and buggy times, but no, not in.
Oh, I think it's
not in horseless carriage times.
It's designed to give every citizen equal representation. Isn't that what it's designed for?
In theory, that if we did a pure popular,
well, like with the rural people,
yeah,
that
the,
it helped,
yes. The presidency could be decided by California, New York, and Florida
every time.
Yeah.
Right.
So they need to sort of represent people out and make it happen.
That was what it was designed for.
Yet,
otherwise you get your population centers that would determine the election.
And with our guy, would that be such a bad thing?
No.
Not so bad?
No,
okay,
no, no.
So let's think about it.
I think we rewrite it.
Think about it.
Get it right out to the fans.
We're going to rewrite it.
Because all I know is if it's a tie and it ends up going to Congress,
right. Yeah.
This could be like worse than last time.
I don't think you're going to have to worry about that.
You didn't think the Red Sox were going to win the World Series this year.
No, thanks for bringing that up.
You didn't think the Red Sox... Well, never mind. It's a happy day for you.
I didn't think the Red Sox would what?
You did. Never mind.
You know what about this election?
No, I want to hear it.
No,
you have to say? No, I'm very happy.
Yeah, you should be.
No, you. Listen, I was just trying to go back to the bet. You didn't. You did think that the Red Sox would win the American East by two games, and they didn't.
That, yeah, and I think on that bet, I think I get, I paid off the bet. I take credit for thinking that this season the Red Sox were going to have a great team.
No, you think that every year, though.
But you know, you also predicted...
Yeah, I kind of do.
It had to come true eventually.
You also predicted...
No, it didn't.
No, it didn't.
No, it didn't.
Mike also predicted that there was a way that he had to do the massage and the Red Sox could win. They would figure out a way to do it.
And they did.
Right. And by God, they did.
Yeah, they did.
They always get you.
Hold on, here is William about this Electoral College. William?
Hey, guys.
Hey, William.
First of all, I want to say thank you on the prize last year. You probably don't remember. I was the one who won with my wife. In the shower. I won't say any more than that, but it was...
You're right, we don't remember. What can we do for you about the Electoral College, William?
It was a compromise. What they did was they didn't want the popular vote to decide the president, so they compromised by having Congress the ability to do it as well. And what it is represented by the amount of senators you have and the House of Representatives. So each state, those members vote for them. And what it does, it prevents a majority vote in any part of the country to decide the election. So,
what would be wrong with a majority vote in any part of the country? I mean, if you got a bunch of people that like Kerry to live on the East Coast,
people in Nebraska
BFP.
would be mightily ticked if the election was decided by the people of New York.
Let me just say, I mean, I think I'm speaking for everybody.
Uh-huh.
Is
Nebraska really a state? I mean,
now you've really made them mad.
What do we get out of them?
You know, we're going to be hurt. We're probably heard somewhere in that corn
state. They have wonderful food out there.
You know, you got really out of the 50, you got 20 you can do without. I mean, does anybody really take Alabama seriously?
We could lease that space.
I mean, and don't tell me all this crap about battleground states, but I'm talking about right now today, we can lose Mississippi, Alabama, Arkansas, and don't think that I got...
Aren't we on in Mobile?
Not anymore. I don't think I got a thing about the South. Let's go right to the Midwest.
Mm-hmm. Dakotas.
Nebraska. You're right. Goodbye. North and South, even though I'm kind of fond of the Bismarck and Pierre thing.
Sure.
There's two of them now?
There are, yeah. Wow. Get rid of both of them. I mean, we've got...
All right, I'll give you one New England state.
10 underachieving states.
I'm going to give you one New England state. Which one do you get rid of? One New England state.
Probably New Hampshire.
No, it's beautiful. You got to go with the one you used to make fun of.
Which one?
Rhode Island.
No.
You want to keep Rhode Island?
No, you got to keep
it. You have a soft spot for Rhode Island?
Well, all right, New Hampshire it is.
The problem with the New England states is they're small.
Listen,
and it's not going to do much good to get rid of them.
Yeah. We just need our cool states to vote. And here's our cool states. California.
Florida.
Florida.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say Texas, except it's Bush is from there. But it's a cool state.
It's a big state.
And I guess New York's a cool state.
Mm-hmm.
Here, don't leave out the Old Dominion.
Well, Virginia.
Illinois for Chicago.
Let us play.
You're such a Virginian.
Yeah, you're right. Illinois would be a big one.
For Chicago.
Yeah, for Chicago.
Yeah.
But that's about it. Other than that, forget it. You're not allowed to participate.
I'm not.
No, you can't. You got to live in one of the big happening areas.
Then
here's how you really decide.
Mm.
all the cities, all the big cities in America that our show doesn't go to,
mm-hmm.
which would be all of them,
right.
they should be the cities that should be allowed to vote.
Amen.
If you can hear this show right now,
you should not be able.
What that means is the city that you live in,
consider yourself disenfranchised,
is not big enough to count mm-hmm. in the elections. If I was king.
Well, gentlemen, I believe we figured it all out. Bully.
Hello. Rodney. Hey. Rodney. Don and Mike show. Hello, Rodney.
Hey. You guys. Don, one problem with your theory there. You're saying let the big population centers like California decide to vote. I got one word for you. Yeah. Sacramento.
Right, my friend. Okay. Hi there. Peter. Yeah.
Another
Don
word
and Mike.
Arnold.
Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Well, the United States is actually a republic combined of 50 Democratic states. So to make your argument, you should have the states split up their electoral votes based on their individual okay. state.
Hey, now, Peter, can I stop you for just a second?
Sure.
Peter, did you ever think that maybe I'm really not serious about just dividing up the states that suck and the states that don't suck?
I know you're serious. You've said it before. You'd like to see another war between the states.
Yeah, we'll get it right this time.
You ever think about it, Peter? Although I do think that the Electoral College is screwed.
I agree with you. I think they should split their electoral votes by how much.
That's all you need
to
say.
That's Peter. And well, tomorrow morning he'll get up and go out and read some more meters.
Off with your head.
And he'll eat some pumpkin.
But, so the election, when you figure in the administrative costs and the money spent on advertising, $4 billion, they say that's a conservative estimate. And if there is the kind of trouble you're talking about, it could cost more.
I want to thank Mr. Pan for calling in.
When
you just get that one? Peter Pan.
Right.
He's no longer with us, by the way.
Peter Pan?
The boy who grew up to be a man, who inspired the story
Peter
of Peter Pan.
Peter Allen.
He threw himself in front of a train.
Cowboy.
I wasn't going to get to that story, but you brought it up.
Cowboy.
When we come back, I'll tell you how Chris Rock is rocking the vote.
Oh, this is... Okay, stay tuned.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Cowboy.
That's a dead spot, so we've got some... What?
Dead spot.
Dead spot, so we've got some time here.
Sure.
Oh, we have a time where there would normally be a commercial?
Yes, we do have time.
Well, then let me tell you all about...
I'm kidding.
Today.
I was in South Africa, and I'm walking down the street.
Shut up.
A guy comes out of like a hut, the nature of the beast.
Hold on, now.
Let
me tell you about Larry King.
Get back to the jingles. Okay. We're back on the network.
I know.
We're back on the network.
Come on now.
We're back on the network.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt.
Awful.
It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
That's why we're not on any battleground states.
I don't think anyone noticed.
No. We can't time a goddamn break to save our lives around here.
Seamless.
Like I'm in charge of the clock. That's just me, just big dumb me.
Granny. Ah, the Don and Mike Show.
Now, with the news, Moody Blues. And here is Buzz. Buzz?
Yes.
East Coast Bob is on the phone and says he has the Paris tape. And I swear to God, I don't know if it's a goof. East Coast Bob from EastCoastBob.com. East Coast Bob?
Yeah, no, I do have the tape. ABC's playing it. And I got a little clip for you if you guys want to hear it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks, East Coast Bob.
All my fellow countrymen, you are guilty. Guilty, guilty, guilty. You are as guilty as Bush and Cheney.
His face...
I feel a little bit of it. You hear that?
Yes. Bob, could you play it one more time?
Sure, let me rewind that a little bit.
All right. And I'll give a website plug here, EastCoastBob.com.
He's great.
It's got a lot of good stuff with our show up there.
Okay.
All right, here it is.
All the trademarks of an Al-Qaeda production.
Don't you
the tape features someone speaking English who claims to be an American, identified only as Azam the American.
No, my former countrymen, you are guilty. Guilty, guilty, guilty. You are as guilty as Bush and Cheney.
All right, East Coast Bob, thank you.
All right, guys.
EastCoastBob.com. You still have...
just part of the tape.
I want to ask him. You can hear some of his best calls to Larry King on there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Check out the website. It's worth it.
He could have took it from them. Could have took it from them.
Not on the air. Don, I don't know. From them.
Don, am I?
Sacramento, California. Hello.
Larry King, I want to commend you on your choice of spinners.
East Coast Bob.
It is black.
I know it. This quality, though. This money that belongs to the Iraqi people, can they get that back from Saddam? And are we going to get Don and Mike on the Armed Forces Radio over in Iraq?
Good question. That's a good question. Nick, Christopher, can they get the money?
That was smooth.
Some way to send that money back to the people? He probably took it from them.
From them?
What are you doing now, Larry?
I'm lying in bed.
Uh-huh.
What else are you doing?
The only thing I worry about is dying.
Yeah.
Okay, what are you really thinking about in bed?
A boy.
Uh-huh. Come on. Stop that. Stop saying you want a boy.
I would rather do Saddam Hussein.
Oh, all right. Wow.
Okay, well, that's all right.
What
good, I guess.
Wigs me out the most what? Is how fat I was. You got to be kidding me.
I'm kidding. Buzz?
Yes.
Hi, Buzz.
The good news is that Chris Rock is working hard to make sure African Americans get out the vote on Tuesday. The bad news is Chris is so enthusiastic some radio stations have had to censor his public service announcements. Speaking for a group called Election Protection, Rock ignores the script and says, if you think voting is a waste of time, then I have three words for you. You are crazy. Your ancestors got hit in the head with bricks and got bitten in the ass by German shepherds so you could vote, end quote. The group behind the announcement says it's providing an edited version of the spot for stations whose listeners might be offended. The group provides a hotline for minority voters to call if they feel they've been unfairly turned away from the polls.
He's still great, isn't he?
Yes,
he's
right.
Still
always,
great.
Always. It's been an emotionally charged campaign right down to the grassroots level. Someone kept stealing the John Kerry signs from the lawn of Rick Carpenter.
What do the grassroots have to do with this?
It just refers to the people, the
sooner
regular people.
Sooner or later, love is going to get you.
Ah, you miss them, don't you?
Two divided by love can only be one, but one is a lonely number.
Someone kept stealing the Kerry signs from the lawn of Rick Carpenter of Winona, Minnesota. So Rick set a Wile E. Coyote trap for the thief. This time he screwed his Kerry sign into the side of the house and coated it with slippery Vaseline. Rick's wife, Veronica, chimed in by running a fishing line from the sign to a set of her wind chimes. Later, they heard the wind chimes, and Rick went running outside and chased four of the five culprits away. The fifth, who stayed behind, was a woman who apologized for her Bush-supporting boyfriend, and she told Rick she likes Kerry. Rick let the woman go without calling the cops. He was in no position to complain, really, since in all the excitement, he'd run outside to catch the thieves, forgetting to put on his pants.
Eee.
Women who support Kerry might want to be careful about who knows that. In West Palm Beach, Florida, a young Marine recruit is in jail for threatening to stab his girlfriend, who made the mistake of telling him she plans to vote for Kerry.
And the problem is
18-year-old Stephen Scott Soper. Will...
Well, Mike, no matter how you get it, no
I
matter...
understand.
Which side
take
of
take the politics out of it?
Yes, that's thank you.
And
Mike.
It's still wrong. 18-year-old Stephen Scott Soper will enter Marine basic training as soon as he gets his GED. He wasn't happy about his 18-year-old girlfriend telling him she not only disagrees with his choice of George W. Bush, she's leaving him. He allegedly told Stacy, you'll never live to see the election. Sheriff's deputies say they had to use a taser to subdue Stephen when they showed up to arrest him. They say he'd threatened to stab Stacy in the neck with a screwdriver.
Stephen.
Yeah.
Screwdriver.
In sports, Boston Red Sox fans are planning a major celebration. The Sox finished a World Series sweep of the Cardinals last night to win their first championship in 86 years.
God bless you, boys. I hadn't heard about this.
There'll be a huge victory parade through Boston Saturday. That's what I've come to tell you. Mayor Tom Menino, I can't say this guy's name, Menino, says it could be the longest parade in city history.
Johnny Damon, David Ortiz, Manny Ramirez, Mark Bellhorn, Kevin Millar, Keith Folk, all of them. They were fantastic. Yaz is a fag.
Thank you. And finally, a website out of Las Vegas is being told to stop selling a Christopher Reeve t-shirt. The shirt says, I bought Christopher Reeve's wheelchair on eBay. The company heard from eBay about that. Quoting the website guy, this shirt is a celebration of the variety of items available on eBay. It's not just for enlargement pills, phony antiques, stolen goods, dubious diet products, unlicensed pharmaceuticals, and designer knockoffs. The company also heard from the Mary Kate and Ashley Empire about the shirt they were selling that reads, I bleeped the Olsen twins before they were famous.
Oh, God.
I'm Buzz Burbank.
Jesus.
On the Don and Mike Show.
Wow. Somebody fill in the blanks for me.
No.
I bleeped them.
Wow.
What a sound. Made their acquaintance? Not sure.
Fill in the blanks.
Damn. We got to go. Hey, everybody. On IBC and the Infinity Broadcasting Company. Stay tuned on these fine IBC stations for Rotted Fest. IBC.
NBC.
They're coming up next. And we'll be back tomorrow with a new episode. Good day to you, sir.
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 And you.
What?
Guess what I stole? What? A pizza.
It's good.
Ah.
Yeah.
Why should this day play?
Meet again. Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Too busy to meet new friends? The WJFK Dateline can change your life. Log on to WJFK.matchlink.com.
Television station TBS has done it again.
Done what?
They've taken the classic TV show Gilligan's Island and turned it into a reality show.
I thought Gilligan's Island was a reality show.
Mike, sadly, the original sitcom was only make-believe.
So no one really built a radio out of coconuts?
Not until now. You see, you've got the real Gilligan's Island on CBS.
How do it work?
They put seven real-life castaways on a real deserted island, and they got to figure out a way to get rescued.
Any plot twists?
This would not be a reality show without twists. Michael, lots of hilarious twists and challenges that recall the original series that we all love.
I'm laughing already. I can't wait to watch the real Gilligan's Island on TBS. And Don?
Yes, Mike?
Ginger or Marianne?
Mrs. Howell.
Ah, lovey.
Don't miss the real Gilligan's Island on TBS. It all begins with a special two-hour premiere Tuesday, November 30th at 8 p.m.
Only on TBS. Very funny.